Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, my friends, here's who we've got for you on this already Friday edition. Hard to believe. We've got Jim Marrs coming up in 30 minutes to get into the architecture of the New World Order and track what's happening with the controlled financial collapse. Richard Cook, who's been joining us, a former White House analyst, NASA analyst, writer for the Washington Post, many other major publications, consultant to NASA. He'll be joining us as well. Then we have Webster Tarpley from the middle of the third hour into the fourth hour, up into the end of the transmission today. I say this more and more. I am speechless. We knew the fraud was coming. We knew the controlled economic collapse was coming. But to witness it and to witness the spin and lies and disinformation, there must be a talking point out. I mean, they've been saying this for months, but I flipped around on talk radio early this morning and then on my drive into work to the broadcast studio. And I heard local talk radio, I heard San Antonio radio, syndicated radio, all saying the same thing. It's the culture of entitlement. It's all the people that lied on their mortgage applications. They're the ones that caused it, and this has got to stop. And no talk of the entitlement by the international bankers who've designed this, or who said 15 years ago, oh, the poor people, they deserve a home, and they deserve the equity and the dream. And so we're going to give them a loan sharking adjustable arm balloon mortgages and rip them off because there's a sucker born every minute. It's not a culture of entitlement. It's a culture of suckers and a nation of brainwashed, brain-damaged, fluoride heads, a zombie nation mesmerized by their TV set and the lies. Being set up, being walked into a bear trap by the New World Order. Now, yes, you can look at the poor, pathetic people sucked into the false dream and set up and told it was the thing to do and lied to by the real estate agents and by the brokers and the banks and the whole media system. You can look at them caught in the bear trap, blood oozing out of their sides, their eyes going dim. But do you blame them for stepping into the bear trap? No. Who laid the bear trap? Who put the scent of honey out on the morning wind and brought us in to step in that thing? Who raised us from birth, domesticated us to be trusting and mindless and idiotic? The New World Order. And it's just so disgusting to watch the International Crime Syndicate say, no investigations, no indictments, none of us will get in trouble, don't even think about it, none of us did anything wrong. It's all you, the American people's fault. And over in Europe, it's all over their news. The American people caused this by being greedy slugs and lying on their applications. Ladies and gentlemen, the main crisis here, they only told you that it was the mortgages, as I said 3 years ago. It's an end game that's been out for a year and a half. It's an end game blueprint for global enslavement. Video we shot in 2006 came out in 2007. It's an end game. We wrote articles saying the global rulers say they're going to implode the housing market when that was not on any of the news. And then they're going to blame that on the financial implosion, which they'll then bring in their world currency and control system out of a decade-long world depression. I mean, we have Daniel Estulin, we have Jim Tucker saying it on camera from the bar of the hotel we were staying at a few miles from Bilderberg. I mean, a month before Bush announced that he was going to sign on to Kyoto Protocol and go ahead and go with a global tax on carbon, when he said he never would, Tucker came on from Istanbul a year and a half ago and said, that's what happened. That's what our sources gave us. He had to be chased by armed spies to bring you that. We know their plan, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to cover it when we get back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
I want to say something now. Anyone who doesn't recognize that scientific dictatorship is being set up worldwide, who can't just see it, much less go read all the declassified government documents about it. If anybody doesn't know we're going into a world government, if you don't know that we're under eugenics, biochemical, and radiological attack, and it's all stated, you're living in a fantasy land. And let me tell you something else. It doesn't matter if you don't believe 9/11 is an inside job. The majority of people worldwide in major polls do know it's an inside job. Hundreds and hundreds of polls showing the same thing. Even if you live in denial, it doesn't make it go away. The world doesn't reside just inside your head between your two ears. I want to tell people who are living under cognitive dissonance, living in delusion. You can dress up like the fairy princess. It doesn't make you the fairy princess. You can dress up like you're Roger Staubach, but it doesn't make you Roger Staubach. You can imagine that you've got all this power inside the system and that everything's going well and that you're part of the power structure and that the government's good. Let me give you a newsflash. The crimes by the sicko freaks and thieves and scum and societies of evil that are committed, that we know about on a daily basis, are so legion, it makes the head spin. I was thinking about modern military culture in the United States, which they wrap in the flag. And they take our best well-meaning people, our farm boys, our inner-city people, who believe they're fighting for America, and they use them to destroy America and set up world empire. And how the military has a culture of corruption to rat each other out and spy on everybody and to investigate everyone and write everyone up. And then get dirt on people, and those that play the game and are the sickos go to the top. It's disgusting. And the military lines the troops up and gives them shots that kill them. And the military says, we won't tell the press or their families what it was killed them. And how they use you and how you love it. And how the military is being used by the foreign banks to fully suck the country dry. $4 trillion stolen from the Pentagon in the last decade. Trillion stolen out of the pension funds already in the other sectors of the federal government. The state governments, the water districts set up as criminal enterprises. They are just running wild. And what does John McCain say? And I want to get this straight. Every time I talk about John McCain, he's a puppet. He runs nothing. He's a nobody. He's in league with Barack Obama. They work for the same military-industrial complex. Let's get that straight first off. When I bash him, I'm not saying go for Barack Obama. I'm illustrating the absurdity. I heard a clip this morning on the radio, and they were agreeing, saying, yeah, that's right, where he was criticizing the Democratic Congress for saying, we don't know what to do, and it's not our fault, and we're just going to recess and let the Treasury Department and the private Federal Reserve run things. And McCain said, how dare you? You better do something. This is your fault, and all this other bull. And the hosts were on there agreeing. Ladies and gentlemen, on Monday, Sunday night, it was on Bloomberg, Secretary of the Treasury Paulson, who was involved in Wall Street setting up this Ponzi scheme, there were members of the Republican Congress and the Democratic Congress saying, we need to have an investigation of these, quote, bailouts and what you're doing and whether this will bankrupt the Treasury. And Paulson went on TV and put out a release and said, you have no authority here. The executive is in control, and we have contracts with these private institutions. Now, Congress is in control of the purse strings. They apportion. They fund. They pass the laws. That's in the Constitution. It's 101. But in this modern age, folks, they're getting rid of the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, all of it. Why not get rid of that, too? You see? I mean, NORTHCOM announced yesterday they're going to put brigades of troops on the streets of America. And for PR purposes, they're going to be out with the jaws of life. Regular combat brigades. The cops can't do it. Forget jurisdiction. That's for PR. Oh, why is the military here? Oh, the military showed up again and saved my daughter crushed in a car. But then under that, they mentioned, we're also going to deal with American terrorists, insurrection, rioting. We hope we don't have to shoot Americans. It says that in the Army Times. But for PR, they're going to be out helping people. I mean, this is unbelievable. What if Russian troops paratrooped in and said, oh, but we're going to help with the jaws of life get people out of their cars? Don't you see through it? Now regular combat brigades linking up with all these other secret brigades that we told you about years ago that they now list in the Army Times? It was all there, folks, with its cloaking device on. They flipped the switch. It came right into view. Right over you, folks, with guns aimed at you. Good Lord. They didn't set all this up for no reason. They didn't pay off mayors and city council people and county commissioners and councilmen and selectmen and women coast to coast in covert operations over 20-plus years, 25 years. Started in 1983 is the best we can tell. Giant covert operation. What's the Pentagon do? They infiltrate. They take over. They lie. What's their job? Overthrowing things. Doing what their bosses tell them. Well, they did it here. And they're hiring gang members and criminals and felons for the military now. And I will not bow down while the military... You know, they said, well, they just confiscated guns in New Orleans. That's okay. Now they're in Illinois with the military confiscating weapons. The mayor comes out and announces it. The governor announces it. And it doesn't even hardly make national news. The NRA doesn't say a word about it because they're there to pacify you like we're a baby. And they stick a poison pacifier of cyanide in our mouth. Well, I'm not taking it, and I'm not a baby, and I'm not backing down to this. Folks, there are powerful people that want to rob banks, that want to take over societies, that want to rule, and they've done it systematically. And their war planner said, look, we just can't go in here and take over and butcher everything and suck everything out of the pension funds and train the masses of people to go in and get these bad loans. The people are going to get mad. They'll bring us to justice. We've studied history. And they said, you know what we're going to do? We'll bring in military dictatorship and control under the threat of an outside enemy like terrorism so that they will allow us to crush dissent, ban free speech, and so we can control the court systems and not get in trouble. And keep cutting the cream off the top of the slaves. We're just going to make them full-bore peons. It's too dangerous having an armed American population. And that's what they've done. And I was telling a friend about this last night, and she said, you know what this is? This is just like what the military does after they've, pulled out of an area and looted it. They burn the city down. They burn the bridges so that no one can come after them later, so that their enemies can't rebuild. They destroy the infrastructure. This has been, tax incentives for 20-something years to move offshore, tax incentives for the elites to move their money offshore. But notice in the last 2 years, they changed the bankruptcy laws for the little people where it's hard to declare bankruptcy. Notice in the last 2 years, they changed the law where you can't get your money out of the country very easily, or they can get it anywhere in the world, but a handful of nations. You understand what's happening? Do you understand this is scientifically done? Now, 99% of the time when a nation falls, it falls from covert financial interest paying off the generals and staging a coup. Bush Sr.'s father, the current president's grandfather, is on record, BBC, London Telegraph, Associated Press, New York Times, being the head Nazi in the U.S. and trying to run an op with the Marine Corps commander, two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, Smedley Butler. And he acted like he was part of the conspiracy for 6 months, got all the documents that went and blew the whistle. And then all press got to have some of his assets seized and some other things. The Harrimans were involved as well. It's the same thing. The real tycoons, real robber barons try to seize governments. You got that. You got the people. You got the media. You've got the currency. You've got it all. That's the big game. It's a corporate takeover. The New World Order is a corporate takeover of every nation state in the world. And then they play like a giant chessboard or wrist set. They play different nations off against each other and then roll on to the next. It's basic business, but cold-blooded and hardcore. Now it's time to stop being delusional. As I said in the first segment, I've been listening to talk radio this morning, hours of it, while I was reading news articles and getting ready for the broadcast. And there's a talking point out that the lazy American people, the entitlement crowd, they caused this. And certainly, they got suckered into it. But we told you, not one, not 2 years ago, but in early 2006, 2.5 years ago, almost three, we told you they are going to implode the housing market. they are going to artificially pull the plug on it and then blame the collapse on that. Because we went to Bilderberg. We have the sources inside. We got the information out. Jim Tucker, Daniel Estulin, myself, and others in order. And we told you exactly what was going to happen because these people run the world. You think it's safe? You think it's fun to go up against these people? You think it's fun to have military intelligence following you wearing clown masks? You think it's fun to be interrogated and have the police threaten to set you up and put you in prison? You think it's fun to have your wife threatened? You think it's fun? Listen, people better appreciate this information. We're busting our butts to bring you this. We're risking our lives. Jim Tucker has been shot at in Portugal. Do you understand? We go where the world rulers are. We run our own desperate ragtag intelligence gathering operations against them. Against the CIA, the Mossad, MI6. And people out there who sit in their armchairs have no idea what it's like. No idea. To just be somebody from farmer stock who discovered my country is under attack and I don't even have a big education and I'm here with a crash course in brain surgery the last 15 years, 13 years on air, fighting them as hard as I can and getting huge response, huge effect. And I just want all of you to come in on the big fight against these bastards. Man, it hurts me bad. I'm so angry. When we get back, we'll give you all the financial stuff. It is just mind-blowing. There's another line in the media. They're saying it's only $1 trillion to $2 trillion bailout. Ladies and gentlemen, it is in the hundreds of trillions conservatively. Hundreds of trillions. This is the scam. This is the big robbery. They trick you into the bailout. That's the big robbery. That's the big event. What's happening now?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold.
Everything the global crime syndicate engages in is about domesticating you, making you dependent on them.
The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go.
Everything they engage in is about dumbing you down, putting you in a prison system. Our public schools, most of them are like prisons now.
I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and a kid.
They don't even let girls bring their purses. It's about being prisoners, learning how to be a slave.
I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive.
They now come up in England and harass people who are smoking cigarettes on the street and tell them they've got to do a carbon monoxide test. It's about them getting in your space, getting used to having interfaces with, quote, officials.
I can plow a field all day.
All the environmental cops, all of them.
Fish from dusk till dawn.
This has been planned. Congressional leaders set up for a meeting Thursday evening with Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson and Federal Reserve Chairman that as much as $1 trillion could be needed to avoid an imminent meltdown. Crank it up. Let's let them hear this part.
Grow good old tomatoes and homemade
could be needed
wine.
To avoid an imminent meltdown of the U.S. financial system.
Country folks can survive.
Now they're putting that out to cause an even bigger panic. They want you off your farms and ranches.
We say grace, we say ma'am.
And they're coming for your land.
Don't give a damn.
Don't worry, these bastards are criminals of old.
We came from the West Virginia.
You need to know the government's your enemy and totally criminal. So upset to hear all these talk shows parroting the line. It's the American people's fault. The government's good. Let's bail out all the banks. Let's be sensible. They engineered all this, and again, they only started advertising a credit crisis to create these problems. The real crisis is that they bundled the bad mortgages and sold them over and over again and leveraged them.
New York City. He never called me by my name.
And all these other big financial scams that are going on.
My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman.
And it's a big joke to them. So see, the hundreds of billions they've stolen is nothing. They now are going to gobble the entire economy, the comprehensive annual financial report money, the trillions that states like Texas and New York have, the trillion plus that Manhattan has. That's why they've changed the law to take the pension funds. They've changed the law to take the annuities. And then, oh, we'll save the economy. It'll totally collapse if you don't just let us do anything we want. And then George Bush and John McCain come out and say it's Congress's fault. They're not acting. When the private Federal Reserve and the Treasury head, Paulson, have told them they are not involved in this under contract and cannot be involved and can say nothing about funding. I mean, we're seeing the government, as Ron Paul said yesterday in a speech I'm going to play later. Ron Paul blasts secret government running economy. Congressman warns middle class in danger of being wiped out, says Congress is oblivious as Fed has no clue. Fed has no clue? Why do even we buy into that? I mean, that's what Ron Paul says. They don't have a clue. They engineered the whole thing, Ron Paul. I'm going to get him on. Love him to death, but you know the way he puts it, he knows they engineered it. We have to stop even talking to the dumbed-down masses. They don't even want to count. We got to talk serious turkey here. Folks, I got a stack of economic news that'll curl your hair. Look at this. That as much as $1 trillion could be needed to avoid an imminent meltdown of the U.S. financial system. Ladies and gentlemen, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are conservatively leveraged over 100 times. And they're talking about the exposure being between 1.5 or 5.4 trillion. Now, leverage that 100 times. They're both worth together over 54 trillion. Leverage it. And it's all secret. You understand these bastards bought real things with this fiat currency and assets they created, and now they're telling us we've got to bail it out. But see, all that earlier thieving is nothing compared to this. This is the trap now. This is something we'll never get out of unless we monetize it and say we don't owe it, and they point out it's a fraud. But we're not. See, this is the point to be doing that. As we've been saying, we said when the economic crisis comes, for year after year, it's in Matrix of Evil. I made 4 years ago. Every financial guest we have on covers it. To blame the bankers and not bail them out when it happens, and to expose that they engineered it. Year after year, we warn you for when this came. Don't bail them out. Don't do it when the time comes. But what's happening? Exactly what we warned against, ladies and gentlemen. This is it. SEC banned short selling for financials. California home sales surges, prices plummet. Treasury to guarantee money market funds. London's records, biggest surge in history after Bush and others announced that it's total commitment to the bankers. But of course, it'll only surge for a few weeks, maybe a month, and it's going to plunge even worse. After the bailout, it's not a bailout. After they suck us dry, then they're bringing us down. Stay with me. Vital info straight ahead. The talk's going to end now. Yuppies, warmongers, fake Republicans, mainline liberals. It's in the game. These people forged Hitler. They forged Lenin. They created these monsters. It's all declassified. Carol Quigley's book. Georgetown political science head, Bill Clinton's mentor. Read his book, 900 pages. He'll tell you. He will teach you. He will tell you you're a slave. He will laugh at you from the grave. There's nothing more frustrating than knowing we have absolute murderous criminals running everything, raping everybody. And to watch all these people on talk radio and TV thinking they know what's going on. And most of them are just useful idiots parroting, repeating what they heard over and over again. Who told you exactly what was going to happen? Who laid out exactly what would unfold? Our enemy is failing, though, in many respects. Remember 2 years ago, and then again a year ago, when they pulled out every stop, the social engineers, and even made bills secret for the first time in U.S. history. They said, you can't see the immigration reform bill, but we promise it's not amnesty. And then Senator Sessions leaked it and got in trouble, got called on the carpet by the leader of the Senate. But Senator Sessions, God bless him, went out of Alabama, released it. And in the bill, he gave the 20 smoking guns, and it said clearly, this is not an amnesty, this is a complete and total pardon, clemency. It stated that illegal aliens with aggravated felonies If they just signed a pledge and promised to not commit felonies here, they would be legal. It legalized felons, people in prisons, people getting out of prisons to not be deported, aggravated felons. Go read it! It made all the illegal aliens, conservatively 25 million, more like 35 million. The census said 14 million 8 years ago. You think illegal aliens go and tell the census when they're here? The state censuses show it's double that number. And that was years ago. Now, nothing against these poor people living under total New World Order control, being dehumanized, but they have been brainwashed with their own propaganda, nationalism against the U.S. being used as a third world device to bring down wages and further implode things. This is a war against independent capital. This is a monopoly operation. Now, they tried to get that through, and I said, you watch, they need to get this through. They need to get amnesty first before the economy implodes, or then they're going to have a lot of trouble doing it because it's going to put more pressure on the illegal aliens. And then the Associated Press came out with a headline, Bankers Help Immigrants, and it said, we know people are putting pressure on them last year. It said, we know the economy's having a little trouble, and so we're going to give them home loans, and we're going to do all this to help them stay in the country. And all these big banks gave them ID cards that cities and the feds accept as a national ID card. And Vicente Fox came to Austin and gave Wells Fargo an award for the national ID card, the private corporate ID card. And the police chiefs are paid overtly and covertly by intelligence, by foreign governments. Fox gave cash awards to APD officers. Totally criminal. It's like McCain going to England and openly having fundraisers at the Rothschild Palace, Baron Rothschild's palace. By the way, neocons on websites say the Rothschilds don't exist. They say that's a made-up name. It's real, folks. The Rothschilds are real. The incredible thing is Fox out of Michigan admitted and interviewed Vicente Fox, and Vicente Fox said the same thing he said to We Are Change, that, by the way, is in the extras of Truth Rising. And he said, yeah, we're setting up a North American Union. Yeah. And Fox News reported that. Now, that guy's career is over. The black reporter from Fox 2 in Detroit, I'm guessing your career is over. But, hey, come join us. You obviously have. I mean, Fox is the one saying it. Fox also says, American workers, get used to it. That's right. Get used to it. But then what do your neocon handlers do on talk radio? They tell you, doesn't exist, it's crazies, doesn't exist, it's crazies, doesn't exist, it's crazy, doesn't exist, it's crazy. Or they're more slick like Glenn Beck. Okay, it exists, but we still need to arrest all the 9/11 truthers, and Ron Paul's kind of kooky, and oh, but I like him, and oh, we need to go ahead and support wars and all this. Or Michael Weiner, the beatnik of the 60s, top beatnik leader, boy, read his books. I don't even say what's in them on air. but, he comes out and says, we got to fight the New World Order. We got to attack Arab countries. They're the New World Order. Oh, yeah, sure. And I'm a Chinese jet pilot from Pluto. Call Mars in 5 minutes. I'm backing Jim Mars up because I'm in a rant here about the economy. The point is, they thought they'd get their borders lowered completely, and we blocked them there. See, we're having victories. They are moving forward with their operation. But they are badly coordinated and heavily damaged. Attack, attack, attack. Defend the Republic like you've never defended it before. And I just wish that God would move all of you neocons and the 30% of the military that still support all this. Out of the majority of you do support Ron Paul, which shows you're awake. And the cops out there who are delusional. Man, everything I've told you is true. Remember, we told you almost 3 years ago they were going to start the implosion of the economy, blaming it on subprime mortgages. It was by design. That's why they're pulling out all the stops now. They're going for broke. They're in trouble. They can be defeated. And again, as Ron Paul told you, and everybody else has told you, the key is during the financial crisis, will they be able to do the, quote, bailout in quotes? The bailout. They've already moved their assets into commodities and infrastructure. That's stated in IMF World Bank plans in 2002. They were ready to go. The Financial Times of London's reported the big institutions, the mega institutions, the above banking, the shareholders of the global Federal Reserve System, they are the ones that stand to gain. And now, if they can, quote, sucker you into, hey, we're consolidating all these banks, And we need you to bail us out trillions of dollars. Then they will fully take all of us. I mean, used to they talked about $1 billion being big. Now it's trillions every week. This is the big Ponzi scheme. This is the final layer of the multi-level marketing scam. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Folks, we told you. I told you in 97, 98 when I figured out the paradigm and read enough of their documents, which you didn't even have to read between the lines. It stated it. They're going to build up a secret police state grid, use the war on drugs as their cover for the first layer. Then they'd stage terror attacks, a string of them, to bring in total tyranny. Then they would have a full collapse of the economy and the consolidation. So that's what we're dealing with. Now, I've only got 5 minutes with him, and then Jim Mars is on. In fact, call Jim in about 3 minutes. He's Ted Anderson. Ted's been in this for 25 years, 26, what is it, Ted? As a broker, you know, in the gold and silver business. He is freaked out. He offered gold 2 days ago at 80-something dollars below what it was. Gold is back up today, gyrating up and down. It's up 100-something bucks on the week. And Ted can't offer these deals much longer. This deal will be offered through the weekend. And then that's it, ladies and gentlemen. And Ted, give me, though, before we offer the gold and silver deal, give me your breakdown on watching all this unfold.
Well, it's right now I'm looking at the news. Morgan Stanley's the next one on the chopping block. You'll see that one file bankruptcy here soon. AIG, when that went down, it was a $1 billion bailout if they were going to do it. They decided not to and let it go down.
You mean
down.
A trillion?
$1 trillion.
It's trillion.
Anyways, with this, you know, watching this unfold, AIG is like one of the largest insurance companies out there. And that means everybody that has their money invested in annuities and are looking for their annuity to retire on is going to lose it. I just have to say one thing about annuities. Right now, they're not insured. If that company that sold you that annuity, that takes care of that annuity, goes bankruptcy, you're done. You don't have that money anymore. And that's how bad that is. It's not backed by
FDIC.
And
folks, they have now totally committed to all our capital, our name, our future, trillions of dollars. There's no coming back from this. This will bankrupt. There will be a depression. The question is 1 year, 3 years. We don't know. Next week, who knows? And then what Ted's telling you is this. They're going to pump it back up again, and maybe even one more time. But that is only to sucker us fully in to, I mean, look, now the Treasury and the private Fed has told Congress you're not involved, and then they blame Congress, saying Congress isn't doing anything. This is incredible.
Yeah, and the bailouts, I mean, the way you put it on the bailouts, it's if the United States government steps in to bail out these institutions, it spells out more trouble for the taxpayer, and it's absolutely the wrong direction to turn. I realize that if these companies fail, there's going to be a lot of unemployment. We can still run into a complete depression, but if you get the damn government out of trying to manipulate this stuff, we can have a stabilized economy on the other side.
Well, they claim the savings and loan deal was only going to cost $10 billion and ended up costing over a trillion.
Yep.
Okay, now they're saying this is going to cost, in the financials, $5 trillion. And for the slave public, they're saying a trillion or more. Now, if it normally costs 10, 15, 20, 30 times what they say, Ted, we are, this is these numbers that are being dealt. But, Ted, you heard us say 3 years ago that Bilderberg was going to engineer this. You heard us, Ron Paul, break down that the real scam would be the, quote, bailout. This is not a bailout. This is the full transfer of thousands of times more digital currency than even exists into the banker's hands. Well, this is the biggest robbery ever.
The government only reports $9 trillion right now. It's just coming up on $10 trillion in national debt. And you're talking about something that's 10 times the size. I mean, it's way bigger than the United States government can do. And it's going to definitely destroy the value of the currency. There's just no way that it can make it through it. I know you got to get Jim Mars up, so we probably better
talk
about
it. Jim's cool. We've got some time next hour. I just wanted to have him on to plug his event. He's having a Brave New Books. Great guys down there here in Austin, Texas. And he's going to be in studio with me Sunday. on the Sunday show for an hour and a half. So Jim's fine. Cover any more financial info you want to put out there, Ted?
Oh, well, I can just tell you right now, Alex, it's just there are 10,000 banks right now. 1,000 of them are on the chopping block right now. There are institutions that are failing all over the place, and the bankruptcies keep on mounting, and they're mounting, and it just gets getting bigger and bigger. Gold right now, sitting at the $870 an ounce that it's at, is sitting at about, Bob Chapman say? $6,000 an ounce adjusted for inflation, real numbers, not CPI numbers. I mean, it is suppressed right now. Silver, the same thing. Like you said yesterday, trying to hold a beach ball underwater is what's going on. Then, meanwhile, the financial institutions are failing, and the Federal Reserve System is trying to step in and bail all this stuff out, and at the same time, destroying the economy for the people. It's just crazy that we have this. I mean, even now I'm getting emails from people that were completely against me on this Federal Reserve System idea. Now they're like going, yeah, this is right. And they're pulling up quotes from Ron Paul and this and that. It's like the people are finally waking up, Alex, and they're starting to realize that there are problems out here and that they just can't live
on this.
Well,
let's be clear about something. If you write in a newsletter that you think a bank stock is going to go up or down, or a gold stock will go up or down, and then it ends up you own a couple of shares in it, the FBI comes and arrests you. But if you openly engage in naked shorting, felonies every case, if you openly go, the head of the New York Stock Exchange, Grasso, in 99, in front of Reuters cameras, and beg the FARC to invest their cocaine money in New York, which is legal through a loophole. I mean, my point is that they can do any insider trading, any scams, anything they want, and the media keeps saying on all the financial shows, there will not be prosecutions, no one did anything wrong, it was just a mistake. And then later they're going to burn a few little low-level brokers and blame it on them, or Martha Stewart, who did absolutely nothing. You know, literally, oh, she knew her stock was going down and sold a few million dollars worth of shares. We're talking about trillions here. We're talking about, folks, now they've changed the bankruptcy laws. The media is blaming the American people. They're shutting off every avenue of escape for us. And then they suckered us into all this, debased our currency, debased our economy, moved our industry overseas, paid them tax incentives to do it. And then people, yeah, got suckered into, okay, I'll mortgage my house again. Okay, it's going up in value. The media tells me this is the thing to do. And then they blame those people. Now, we told you don't do it, and we told you 2.5 years ago, we came back and said, sell your house now. I mean, it's on record. I need my listeners to go back into our archives and you know, just find any financial show I did right after Bilderberg. Go get clips in Endgame.
Well, what about this one?
Hold on a second. Aaron, come on in here, buddy. I just can't believe it. I mean, folks, the point is, we told you exactly what they do. Ted, how many times do we have to be right? How many times do we have to be dead on? They are bringing in economic collapse to bring in fascism. Hey, you know the part in the extras, there's more of it, and in Endgame 1.5, there's more. There's also more. There's a clip in the film itself. Get me, and I know you've got a lot of work in there, but I want you to write a little blurb about, look how we broke down, how the bankers were engineering this. And then maybe grab the last chapter of my book, it's online too, where I break down the IMF World Bank riot. IMF World Bank documents consume Argentina is the article. It's the last chapter of my book, but it's also online. 6 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, we warned you. And it's all documented exactly as we said, with their own documents. We've got to warn the people, because it's not enough that we told everybody 6 years ago, 3 years ago. People don't know we told them. Ted, I'm sorry. Go ahead and give folks the gold pitch and finish up whatever you were going to say, and then I'm going to Jim Mars.
The last thing that I'll cover here is that the stock market's up today, but you know why it's up? Because the government is going to form a new agency to hold the debt that the banks are holding. So now
so they know they can pile in for now that's going to keep the merry-go-round going a few more revolutions, but when it stops, it's going to be hundreds of times worse.
It's like we have heroin and heroin junkies here.
We've seen this over and over again, Ted.
And they're feeding them more heroin. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely beyond what I can even comprehend.
No, this is taking us for everything. This is, the people are going, yeah, I don't want the economy crash. Okay, give trillions to the private bankers who already sucked us dry and set this up. It's the American people's fault. We're sorry. You're right, government. We love you. Right. And then Congress is told, sit down and shut up by the Federal Reserve. God almighty. And then the media blames Congress, which I'm saying they're a bunch of whores bought off, cowardly sitting there. But they're sure not flying this plane. They're not driving this train, Ted.
They're supposed to be.
Ted, tell them about the special you've got right now.
Yeah, okay. Right now we have Walking Liberty halves. They're at $695. They're $139 per roll. And folks, that is when silver was at $10 an ounce that I locked in on that deal. I also have the British sovereign coin. It's a quarter of an ounce. It's at $239 right now. It's a fabulous buy. We also have the franc coin, which is a fifth of an ounce. It's at $191 right now. Again, another really good buy. The market is...
Ted, explain to people, you lock these in before it went up. People are getting untold of deals here.
Well, that's what I have to do. I have to position myself so I can sell it, so I know I can deliver. And so when the market's running up and I get into something lower, I can offer you a better buy. And that's what's going on right now.
Explain to people how good of a deal that is.
Oh, it's a fabulous deal, Alex. With the way that the gold has been moving at this particular time, I've been offering gold at prices that have been less than spot. And that's just almost unheard of. I mean,
1-800-686-2237. Call Ted. Brokers will be there till midnight every night this weekend. This deal ends, midnight Sunday?
Yeah, midnight Sunday. We'll carry it right through that.
1-800-686-2237. Listen to the number, folks. 800-686-2237. Did you sell out of the silver?
No, that's the thing. I still have some of that silver, and I really recommend that.
That's silver at below spot as well, the beautiful half dollars from the 1940s. 800-686-2237. Folks, take advantage of this. Or listen to the bankers and just believe them, and everything's going to be fine. They've killed the dollar. 800-686-2237. Thank you, Ted. Jim Marr, straight ahead. About an international banking takeover of the Federal Reserve, International Bank of Settlements, OECD, that was the reconstruction of Germany. You see, they get you leveraged out in the Ponzi scheme, then they get you to fully buy in, then they say, well, you wanted to bail it out to save the economy. And Jim Marrs actually writes about that in his new book. He's going to be with us for the next 35 minutes covering that. He's going to be in Austin speaking this Saturday at Brave New Books. I'm not going to be there. But my crew is going to be down there filming. That's when we put that out on the web and for everybody, and also integrated into the film we're doing with Jim Marrs. Black Sunshine is the name of it. Getting into continuity of government, JFK. You know, it's my films are always multifaceted. It's not just about JFK. And I was going to put some of that in there, but we're really going a lot more in the Nazi direction as well, because it's not just the Nazis. The Nazis came from here. So you don't really call it Nazis. This fascism planted a seed that grew into Mussolini and the Nazis. So he'll be with us. But Jim Marrs, you've talked a lot about economic collapse. Let's talk about what we're dealing with right now, what we're facing right now.
Well, it's the same manipulation by self-styled globalist financiers and bankers. You can go all the way back to the 1800s when we had to deal with the trust, which were nothing but just the early day term for corporations. There was a series of booms and busts that they engineered, which then prompted the public to cry out for some relief. And what we got was the Federal Reserve System, private banks owned by private bankers, answerable to no one. In the whole history of the Federal Reserve System, no one in Congress, no one in the federal government has been able to audit them and even find out what's going on. Then we get find that the Bank of International Settlements was set up to drain Germany of its assets after World War One, which then drove the Germans right into the hands of Hitler and his Nazis. And then pretty soon the Bank of International Settlements was then became a Nazi organ and has remained a national socialist and fascist organ ever since. And then, of course, we had World War II to try to stop the world takeover by national socialism by Hitler, and which, of course, Hitler and the Germans got defeated. But even Churchill said he wasn't that opposed to national socialism. He just didn't want the Germans in charge. And that was the whole thing. The bankers, they want to remain control. So after the war, John J. McCloy, who'd been chairman of National City Bank, which is now Citicorp, had been one of the chief funders of Hitler and the Nazis, sat in Hitler's box during the 1936 Olympics. He becomes High Commissioner of Germany and pardons thousands of Nazis and sends them over to the United States, where his protege, Alan Dulles, who had been, he and his brother, John Foster Dulles, had been attorneys for the Fritz Thyssen accounts for the Schroeder Bank, which was the primary funder of Hitler and the Nazis. He becomes CIA director, and under Dulles, they whitewash all these Nazis' past records, bring them in, roll them into our military-industrial complex, and began creating a Fourth Reich in the United States.
Absolutely. Tell folks about the book. We have it at InfoWars.com. This one was actually out by a big publisher. You, of course, have had some bestsellers before. Your book turned into the screenplay, which you helped write. You were the main consultant on the Oliver Stone JFK film. I mean, you're kind of a bigwig researcher. You were the first college professor to teach a class completely on the JFK assassination. Tell folks about the book that's available at InfoWars.com.
Right. The book is The Rise of the Fourth Reich. It was published by William Morrow, a subsidiary of HarperCollins. It only was released on June, at the end of June, and a couple of weeks ago, it all actually managed to hit the extended New York Times bestseller list. So people are definitely responding to the information in this book, which covers everything from the
Stay there. Stay there. We're going to talk more about it.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to InfoWars.com, you can check it out, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. We have them in stock. It is sold out in some store shelves. But whatever you do, get Jim Mars, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. Get it at Amazon.com. Get it directly from Jim Mars. That way the author actually gets a little bit more support. Tell folks about your website and how they can get it directly from you, Jim.
Right. They can go to Jim Mars, that's J-I-M-M-A-R-R-S, two R's in Mars, .com, and you can order the book through there, and you will get a signed edition. And also, the main reason we're here today, Alex, is to talk about, I'm going to be in Austin tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at Brave New Books, and I'm going to be making a PowerPoint presentation. So for those who've actually read the book or those who feel like they just want to get the Cliff Notes, here's the opportunity.
Everybody should come down to Brave New Books. It seats about 140 people or so. Really, one of the best bookstores, well, the best bookstore in Austin, one of the best in the country, and just great folks down there, the founder of it, and, of course, Harlan and all the folks down there. We just love them to death and appreciate their fine work. They're also sponsors of this radio show, I should also add. You can check them out at bravenewbookstore.com. Now, that's tomorrow, 6 o'clock. People can find a map there or just Google Brave New Bookstore. And you'll see their logo is the pyramid being driven down into the ground, the all-seeing eye. Jim, we're seeing it. I mean, all the stuff foretold by the old-timers, all the old Army intelligence guys in the 50s came out and said, our government's financing the communists, the fascists. Then Quigley wrote a book about it, and all these documents they admitted. The old-timers, I mean, when I first heard about this, when I read books written in the 40s and 50s and 60s, they said they're going to stage terror. They're going to set up a police state. They're going to collapse the economy. This was planned way back then, and what happens today happened in the past. That's why knowing history lets you know the future. Jim, start breaking it down.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. I'm holding in my hand a book that starts off in its introduction saying that the Netherlands ambassador to Washington in August of 1943 predicted that with defeat, the German general staff, the Nazi leaders, and in particular the Gestapo, would go underground to prepare for the next war. As for this war, he said, the Nazis knew they had already lost it. This is in August of 1943, and were willing and eager to get it over with. The title of this book is The Nazis Go Underground. It is written by a very credible news journalist and correspondent named Kurt Reese. And here's the clincher, Alex. This book was written and published in March of 1944, months before we even invaded D-Day.
Well, as you know,
this is a long-standing plan. They've been working this plan for a long time.
As you know, and I want to come back and talk about this, in 40 and 41, the Germans tried to do peace treaties secretly with the British, and they sent Hess to do it, and they basically imprisoned him and shut that down because they had a deal to basically let Hitler do what he did, but then the British basically double-crossed him.
Exactly, because the British financiers and their American counterparts are the self-styled globalists who are trying to corral the world population into their own little serfdom. And we can see the end results of it beginning to take shape right now with the disintegration of our economy and the fact that, you know, if there's widespread civil unrest, where's our National Guard? They're all fighting over in Afghanistan and in Iraq.
Well, here's the incredible thing. I'm going to come back. And did you see the Army Times yesterday where they announced combat brigades to patrol America, regular Army?
Hey, nobody's ever rescinded the Posse Comitatus Act, which makes it against the law for them to do that. They just do it.
Hey, it's against the law for the Federal Reserve to tell Congress to sit down and shut up over the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're under martial law, folks. It's what degree of it. We're in the pot, on the stove. It's on medium. Our butt's starting to burn. This isn't a game. You're going to get hurt real bad unless you scream bloody murder. Stay with us. Jim Maher, straight ahead.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're live. And for an hour and 45 minutes, the first segment I'm going to cover financial news, we're going to have Jim Maher in studio with us this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, syndicated in places like Norfolk, Virginia, Chicago, San Diego, Austin, Texas. You can hear it on 590 KLBJ, as far north as southern Oklahoma during the day and as far south as Mexico. That's got to be the most powerful station. It's only 15,000 watts, but the way the antenna was cut by President Johnson, he controlled the FCC when they built it, that it's the most powerful 15,000 watter. Or is it, I forget how many watts. The point is that I've been told by folks and engineers, people that know, it's the most powerful for its wattage in the country. It's more powerful than WOAI, that's 50,000 watts. It's just incredible. Okay, I'm digressing on that subject. We're talking to Jim Maher. This isn't a joke. There's so much evidence. There's so much information concerning this. And people say, oh, you're saying the Nazis run everything. Well, what about this group or that group? Or the idea of fascism, the system of black uniforms and secret police and arrest. You know, I mean, Stalin said he admired Hitler. The U.S. intelligence admired him. They hired Hitlerian intelligence to set up every major agency that came out of the National Security Act of 47. Go through all that, Jim. Break down what we're dealing with here. And we're not even saying it's a Nazi situation, because what the Nazis were, they were created by what sat in London and New York, weren't they?
Absolutely true. And let's get everything real clear and straight right here. When I say the Nazis are trying to take over America, I'm not talking about goose-stepping Germans, okay? I'm talking about worldwide financial individuals who adhere to the philosophy of national socialism. Okay? And National Socialism, the acronym of which is Nazi. All right? So when you hear Nazi, think National Socialism, and that's what we've got going in this country right now, tied with fascism. Now, fascism, by the dictionary, is defined as the blending of government or state power with corporate power. Now, there's no question that the corporations are now running this country. The only difference between us and Nazi Germany is that in Germany prior to World War II, the Nazi Party and the German government gained control over the corporations, and it was that combination that produced fascism. In modern America, the corporations have gained control over the state, but the end result is exactly the same.
Now, Jim, Jim, I've got the radio on here in the studio, but I'm going to go over and get myself a glass of water, so you've got the floor to the break. I'm listening. Jim Mars, whatever's most important about your book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, people need to know, break it down. Give us a preview of what we'll be covering Sunday.
Okay. Well, there's so much to go into, and I've tried to cram it into just about an hour's talk, and it's hardly time to even get into it. But what you'll find in The Rise of the Fourth Reich is the evidence and the conclusion that it's entirely possible that Hitler even escaped. The idea that he killed himself, the bunker up, basically came from a handful of his closest followers, and of course they're going to tell whatever he tells them to tell. There's no hard evidence that any of that ever happened. That's an eye-opener. Then we find out that when he attacked Russia in June of 1941, that was simply a preemptive strike to prevent Stalin and the communists from invading Europe in July of 1941. And Hitler himself said if he hadn't stopped this, all of Europe would have been lost. We don't get taught that in school. And then, of course, as I mentioned before, Winston Churchill even said that he didn't care who was running National Socialism. He just didn't want the Germans to be in charge of the worldwide economy. So that's when they turned on Hitler and joined all these nations together to stop him, which was probably a good thing. But we do. So we stopped the Germans. We stopped Hitler. But we didn't stop the National Socialists. They simply moved over to the United States. And they have been slowly buying up, using the loot of Europe from World War II, all these corporate companies and corporations, and they have been consolidating to the point now, for example, everything that you see and hear is controlled by one of about five multinational corporations.
And let's get into that in a minute, but I just wanted to go back. My grandfather growing up in Dallas pre-World War II, Hitler was like a rock star there. On the radio, they played his clips on WBAP and, you know, the radio stations. All the big tycoons loved him. He was like a rock star.
That's right, because he was a friend to the corporations until they began to realize that he was gaining too much control. Another thing you're going to learn in The Rise of the Fourth Reich is that Hitler was a New Ager's dream come true. He was against smoking, drinking. He was a vegetarian. He was against hunting. He wanted to go back to the land movement. He wanted natural homeopathic medicines. All of this stuff that you hear among the New Age today.
And he wanted to exterminate 80% of the population.
That's right. Cull the population. Exactly what their plan is today. I have their own.
So again, he was one of their protégés, not the other way around.
That's right.
People always misrepresent this because every time I study the New World Order, I run into this exterminate the population, the master race, do this and that, and you know, centralize the banking, bankrupt countries, start wars. And then I say it's a Nazi system. People go, oh, whoa, Hitler, there's Nazis under my bed. You know, No. Hitler was only fruit of the tree.
He was a tool. He was a tool. In fact, he started off, we know he was an out-of-work, destitute street person trying to make a living drawing sketches. And then all of a sudden,
he got brought into Army intelligence.
Yeah, to earn extra money, he started working as an Army intelligence agent. And that's when they picked him up and created him, just like they have created John McCain and Barack Obama. The 2 years ago, most people had never heard of either one of those people. And all of a sudden, now they're our leading candidates. Which one are you going to vote for? And yet, in all that hoorah about this coming election, they rarely ever discuss the real issues. Only one person has tried to address the true issues, and that, of course, is Ron Paul.
And boy, has he been right. He's on record saying secret corporate government is taking over. We are going into fascism. He gave a speech yesterday. It is happening.
That's true, and people better wake up, because at this point, as you said, we're just practically under de facto martial law now, but at least they're still paying lip service to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the balance of power in government. So let's hold their feet to the fire and make them go back and adhere to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and to the checks and balances built into our governmental system.
Yeah, let me explain, folks. If this is a football game, and we go into full hot martial law, mass arrests, shootouts, FEMA camps, you know, locking down cities, people starving to death, and that's what they will do. That's their plan. They've stated it. They are lined up. We're on one side. They're on the other. And their quarterback is saying, hut, hut, hut. He's calling the plays right now. And understand, this is life and death. Do not cower. If you cower, they win. If you speak up, get the word out, call into talk radio, blogs, march. That's why they're trying to shut down free speech. If you let them know you're not going along with it and blame them for what's happening financially, they can't pose as the saviors in the final phase of the Ponzi scheme.
That's exactly right, and all you have to do is take an objective look at the Republican National Convention, people who are there trying to peacefully gather, peacefully voice their criticisms and their problems to the government, were shunted off into a, quote, free speech zone with wire all around it, blocks away from the convention.
And then provocateur cops came around with Molotov cocktails.
Exactly.
And the police arrested the leaders of the demonstrations on record who were peaceful and have now charged them with terrorism.
Which, again, is typical Nazi methodology. In the 30s, when people tried to oppose the Nazis,
they turned SA loose on them to beat them up.
Exactly. They'd break up their meetings. They'd break in their homes. They'd beat them up. That's exactly what's going on, and we can't allow this if we're going to continue to call ourselves free Americans.
Yeah, and you know, they have beat me up, but I fought back, and they have made threats. And just on record, any thugs come around my house, you just better come up behind me because I'm going to shoot you first and ask questions later. Go ahead, Jim. What about you?
Well, I think it's pretty funny that they put people who are trying to exercise their First Amendment rights into free speech zones. Because think about it, Alex, that means all the rest of us who are not in the free speech zone, we don't have free speech.
No, that's it. But I mean, when I'm, well, McCain just spoke two nights ago, and for miles around it, no one was allowed in to even pens. Now they just say nothing allowed. You know, it's just not allowed. Forget
That's right.
It.
You can't raise a question when that student in Florida tried to ask Kerry about why he didn't contest the 2004 election. They tasered him.
Well, I want to be clear. They are planning to use mercenaries and thugs and gangs. Obama has his youth brigade, Million Man. McCain's called for it. And I'm serious. Any thugs come in my house with clubs or guns, and what are you going to do if they try to turn thugs loose on you, Jim?
Well, I'll tell you what we all need to do. According to the Constitution and the laws of this land, the sheriff, your local sheriff, is the highest-ranking law enforcement officer in your county or in your state. And you,
well,
we
the
need
highest
to go,
elected
need...
representative, and so
yeah.
They're above the mayor and the county commissioners.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we need to go to the sheriffs and we need to make them aware of what's really going on, and we need to find which ones will still adhere to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and which ones are on the payroll of the New World Order.
Listen, I went to sheriffs and SWAT team people before the CIA showed up with money to pay them off to join the New World Order. They laughed at me, but then 6 months later called me up freaking out. And I went to the SWAT team commander's office, and then he got fired with some trumped-up stuff a few months later. And he said, how did you know this? They came and did what you said they'd do.
That's exactly right. It's
and again,
like
that's the Nazi tactic of the payoff.
Exactly. Well, they'll pay you off, and if that doesn't work, then they'll see that you get defeated. And if that doesn't work, then they'll arrange an accident. Just like Paul Wellstone, JFK Jr., you try to stand up and do something to counter them, they'll do whatever it takes to get you out of the way.
The good news is they're failing.
That's right. They're desperate. That's why they're pulling out all the plugs and moving quickly into just naked martial law.
Jim, I'll tell you what else is incredible. They do continue to repeat the same thing over and over again. The same fascist crowd tried it in World War I and then World War II against the United States. They use Mexico to attack us, and they're doing it again. Stay there. Okay, Jim has got an appointment. He's got to run down the road. He's going to be at Brave New Books tomorrow night in Austin, Texas, the End of the Dragon, Guadalupe. The free event, I believe, is going to have his book there for sale. Hope you come out to that. I'm going to have a crew there getting some more of him for the film I'm making. Then he's going to be in studio with me 4 to 6 p.m. Central. It's 5 to 7 Eastern on the Sunday syndicated show out of News Radio 590 KLBJ is where it originates from. Look forward to seeing Jim. Maybe I'll meet you for lunch, Jim, late lunch, like 1 o'clock or something, and take you over to the station. I know you're leaving town after the show, but we'll figure all that out. My whole point is the plan of San Diego. Mexico was run by Maximilian. It was set up by the Spanish when it fell. The Hungarian Empire took it over. The crown prince took it over. So there was always deep inroads by the Germanic Empire there. And then they attacked during World War One, killed 23 Americans in one night. The plan of San Diego was to kill all the Anglos. Then Germany was going to people Texas to California. They made up the word Aztlan, the mythical race kingdom of the Hispanics. And I always wondered growing up why in San Antonio, I'd go over to friends who had friends, would go to their houses, and you'd be at a Mexican's house, and there'd be like a Nazi flag, and you'd be like, what is that? And they're like, oh, you don't like it? I didn't understand that. That's why there's so much of that in Latin America. It's why the Germans went there after World War II. And then again, in World War II, we had Mexicans attack for Germany. That's all kept very quiet. So we see the same thing over and over again, don't we, Jim?
That's exactly right. If you want to destroy a nation, you destroy the cohesiveness of the population by unrestricted illegal immigration. And I'm sure you agree with me, Alex. We're not talking about people who want to come and become an American citizen. That's, you know, I welcome all of them.
No, we're just saying how infiltrated this whole fascist system is.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Who's supposed to defend us against any kind of foreign incursions? Our National Guard, okay, our state guards. They're not here. They're fighting in Iraq. They're fighting in Afghanistan, soon to be Iran.
Now 20% of the army was illegal aliens they legalized.
Right.
I mean, that's the point is
that... What if they turn their weapons on us? I mean, you know, these are things we need to start dealing with instead of being distracted by the corporate mass media that just tell us about everything under the sun except things that are important. Alex, I hate to run, but I've got to hit the road. I look forward to seeing your crew there on Saturday and seeing you on Sunday, and I think the brunch idea would be great. And I hope everybody shows up at Brave New Books, 6 o'clock Saturday evening.
Absolutely. The Rise of the Fourth Reich, available at InfoWars.com or JimMars.com. Jim, see you Sunday.
Bye.
Take care. There he goes. All right, I've got Richard Cook, amazing economist, White House historian, on and on and on, joining us about the economy, a Washington Post writer, about what's happening coming up in the next segment. But I want to bring Ted back, because I don't know if listeners, Ted Anderson, realize that this parent company, Midas, it's where I get my medals, gold and silver. I've never gotten into platinum or any of that because I just haven't had the money at the time. But the point is, and he's got some of that too, that Ted has silver dollars, silver half dollars, at below spot right now. And gold is surging today. They have made the decision to fully devalue the dollar. That's 100% now. You know, you've heard Joseph Stiglitz on saying we will have a depression. Nobel Prize winner. You've heard Dr. Paul Craig Roberts saying it's going to happen now. You've heard, who was the top guy we had on? Bob Chapman yesterday. I wish this wasn't the case. They have guaranteed it. I don't know if it's this month or 5 years from now, but sooner rather than later. And, folks, don't wait till when gold goes up above 1,000. Get involved now. Ted, I wanted to just bring you back for 2 minutes because I rushed you earlier just covering news. We spent like 30 seconds on the phone number and the offers. Explain to people, you're selling gold at below what it's currently selling for.
Here's what it, that's exactly right, because here's what happened. I have to lock into a position and I have to secure it for you guys if you want to actually get delivery of this stuff in a timely fashion. And so lately what's been happening is I've been locking in and the darn market's been just shooting up like a rocket ship. And then all of a sudden what I have is way below what would normally sell for. As a matter of fact, just the other day it was like $100 below an ounce, and which is unheard of, obviously. I mean, it just doesn't normally happen in the marketplace. We had one of the largest runs we've ever had in gold. And there's reasons why that's happening, because the economy is melting apart. And right now I've got the silver dollars that it was offering when gold ran up $100 an ounce. I was able to sell gold for less than spot. I've got the same Walking Liberty halves. And I can't mention it enough. Right now at this time, it's a steal. It really is. It's a great time to be getting into the gold and silver, obviously, for obvious reasons. Even a moron can tell that. And you know, people that are sitting on these investments like IRAs and mutual funds, and now the annuities are melting apart because of AIG and these different insurance companies that are falling apart.
Folks, you need to give Midas Resources a call, 800-686-2237. I feel good being able to offer something like this for Ted and this network, because he stood behind this network, and it's such a great deal. I mean, he's got gold and silver at below spot, 800-686-2237. With the gold shooting up, give him a call, 800-686-2237. Thanks, Ted.
Thanks a lot, Alan.
You bet. We'll be right back. shortly joins us for the balance of the transmission. On this Friday, worldwide broadcast, Richard Cook is our guest. Written for some of the biggest publications in the country, like the Washington Post. He is an economist. He has been an analyst to the White House, to NASA. And he's becoming a frequent guest here on the radio show. And so we appreciate him coming on with us. We see the international banking cartel by design imploding the economy. Ron Paul has said this for more than a decade was the plan. We got this out of Bilderberg 3 years ago. They plan to start the collapse through the, quote, bad mortgages. The media is blaming it on the American people when that's a very small part of it. They've been packaging those and other securities, lying about their value, leveraging it out. But the real theft is now, as they trick the public onto signing on to the Federal Reserve, basically bankrupting the entire system and feeding the final value of the dollar and then our name and credit, the American people that back it up, into their system. And now they're talking about a International Bank of Settlements taking over and a world banking system, quote, fixing it, and a global carbon tax as the next bubble to leverage into that. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of new taxes regulating every facet of your life to pay for this. And right now, Sunday, the people in Congress, Republicans and Democrats, were saying, well, we've got to look at these, quote, bailouts. And Paulson said, sit down and shut up, former Goldman Sachs head. He said, sit down and shut up. And then today, Bush and McCain and last night are blaming Congress. Now, I agree. They're whores. They're sold out. They're bought and paid for. They're sitting it out. But to say, because Congress said, okay, we're not involved. You run it. And knowing the public's dumbed down, Bush and McCain said, you did this. You need to do something right now. After being told, they're not involved. Congress is supposed to control the purse strings and apportionment. That's the separation of powers. That's what they do. They raise the money. They pass the laws. The president executes. And then, of course, as the executive, that's what executive means. He executes. You know, the quarterback is the executive. He executes the plays. He puts it into motion. And then you've got the judiciary that are the referees that call, according to the rules of the game, the Constitution. That is all out. And 2 days ago, we reported it yesterday, Army Times reported armored combat brigades to, quote, engage the American people. It said in there, we hope we don't have to shoot anybody. And they said, four riots, insurrection, and they're going to be out helping with the jaws of life for PR. Why is the Army here? Oh, we help now. Get you out of crash cars. That's the PR. So that's setting the table. Things are moving even faster than I thought. Please break down. He's a great economic historian and economist. Give us a basic boil down of the history of who we're dealing with and then the current phase we're now moving into right now.
Well, good talking with you, Alex.
Yeah, good to have you on, my friend.
Appreciate what you just ran through. I'd like to take a step back and maybe approach it from a little bit of a broader viewpoint than what we're getting in most of the media accounts on this, because, you know, the media is portraying this as, oh, geez, some kind of a great disaster that's happening within the financial system. The worst write-off of assets, I think Pearlstein and the Washington Post has called it, that we've ever seen. But what we are really seeing, in my opinion, is the financial economy is crashing back into the direction of the producing economy. You know, I've spoken of the producing economy before as what we working men and women produce.
The real economy. That's what Stiglitz,
yeah,
that's what Stiglitz, two-time Nobel Prize winner, said on the show Tuesday. But the elite are bragging and saying that this is going to create their world financial system, but you see opportunity in this.
Well, the real economy is what carries the weight of all of this, and nothing that the Federal Reserve can do to lend money into the system, produce liquidity, you know, all of those fancy words they use, can change the fact that everything of value that is put into the system ultimately rests on one of us going to work every day, doing our job, and producing something of value.
But that's what they're doing, Richard, as you know, is that they are absorbing the real economy. They are tricking the real economy into signing on to, quote, bail out or be fully bankrupted via fraud. It's not a real contract to, quote, bail out. I mean, do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the root cause of it is our debt-based monetary system that overloads the producing economy with debt. And I pointed out, I just came out with an article yesterday, which is entitled, well, it's in Global Research, Impacts of the Financial Crisis, the U.S. is Becoming an Impoverished Nation. And I try to point out there that all of the bad loans, all of the rotten, toxic assets, and so on and so forth that all of these financial institutions are now faced with were all leveraged by bank money. You know, if you go into the commodities futures market and buy a commodities futures contract, you're not putting down your own money. Maybe 3% of what you're paying is your own capital, but 97% of that is leverage money that you borrow from a bank through a brokerage. And it's the same case with every other type of financial asset. So the whole system is built upon leverage borrowing from the banks through a debt-based monetary system where the only way money is ever created is by a loan from a bank. And what this means is that you not only have a mountain of debt that you've piled on every asset, including people's houses, as we know, but then you've got the interest payments to go with it. And there's the name for interest payments on debts of this type is usury. And usury
now,
has been known for a long, long time.
I would call it a scientifically designed economic black hole vortex designed generationally to cause us to wake up homeless on the continent our forefathers conquered, in the words of Thomas Jefferson, to paraphrase.
Well, that's what usury is. It's a mathematical formula causing debt to increase exponentially over time, regardless of the productivity
of
the asset.
And let's be clear, they created all this out of fiat. They did absolutely nothing but buy a few politicians off in 1913, and then they've sucked everything out of us, they've bought up most of the economy, and now they're butchering the hog.
Well, in 1913, of course, that's when the Federal Reserve System was put into place, and that's when the usury-based financial system kind of got everything in a stranglehold, and that became the system that we work under. Of course, usury has been around for a long, long time. There's one writer that I really have appreciated. I've been in touch with him. His name is Matthew Raphael Johnson, who writes a lot about the situation between the U.S. and Russia. But he says he identifies the system we're under as the Babylonian system, because it was really thousands of years ago when the system of usury was invented, and it's been a plague on Western civilization ever since. And
it's predatory.
Yeah, it's the predatory system. And we're living under that today, and that is the system that has us in a stranglehold. And that system is overlaid on everything that we see coming out of the financial news. Behind it is leveraging from the banks. It's money being created by the banks out of thin air. It's speculative lending piled on top of any contract that's written, any product that's produced, any thing that moves from one place to another. It all has built into it predatory, speculative, usury-based lending coming out of leveraging by the banks. And the banks are the ones who are getting off scot-free. You know, they're taking down everybody else. They're taking down the investment houses. They're going in there and taking over the assets of AIG. But they're the ones who are really behind this. They're the ones that Bernanke works for, that Paulson works for, because they're the ones who own the Federal Reserve System.
Richard C. Cook, economic historian, economist, let's be in layman's terms. Let's explain that. Even the Financial Times of London admitted this in multiple articles. It's the true paper of financial record. There's still some deception there, but they're quite blunt about a lot of things, that you have the mega elite banks and the mega rich are engineering this and then really causing the panic out of Ponzi schemes they created, now they aren't just consolidating the rest of the financial order that was under them, but also then tricking us into being sucked completely into the vortices, and then, at least on the surface, signing our name onto the bailout.
Yeah, and they're the ones who, in the long run, will end up owning the assets, because what people need to understand, and some people have already pointed this out, the bailouts are not for the homeowners. You know, I've got people who write to me who say, well, will this bankruptcy of the system mean I won't have to pay my mortgage or I won't have to pay my loan? The answer to that is absolutely not. Your loan and your mortgage binds you to that no matter who owns the loan or who owns the mortgage. And if these loans and mortgages and other paper assets, you know, go up the food chain into the hands of the bigger and bigger players, the bigger and bigger banks, they're the ones who will come knocking on your door to pay that. Even if your local institution has gone under or your brokerage has gone under, you're going to have to pay somebody. And those assets are increasingly passing into the hands of the bigger and bigger players. They're the ones you're going to owe. And you're not only going to have to owe the money to those bigger and bigger players.
But you're going to have to bail those international banks out because they've taken over the assets for anybody that does walk away from the house, and then later they're going to sell the house again. So this is the great feeding frenzy.
Yeah, and with this AIG bailout, you know, the other morning it was announced that the Federal Reserve was going to put out $85 billion to bail out AIG, and then you read later that day that the Treasury Department has been asked by the Federal Reserve, asked means told, of course, the Treasury is going to have to come up with $45 billion in new Treasury bills in order to compensate the Federal Reserve for what it's putting out. And when you're talking about Treasury debt, you're talking about adding to the national debt. You're talking about interest payments that are going to be made by the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the 2009 federal budget, people don't understand this. The federal budget that we're paying for through taxes for 2009 contains approximately $500 billion in interest payments on the national debt. So even if they can continue to roll over these debts year by year by year, buying more and more debt to cover up the previous debt, The interest always goes into the federal budget, and it's the interest payments that now are getting completely out of control.
And of course, that's the banker's plan, is to get it out of control. That's where banks always, quote, make their money. They issue the false liquidity, the fiat currency. You know, they're allowed to fractionally inflate it. But the true boon is creating these controlled implosions. Then their assets are protected. Then they come in and scoop it all up for pennies on the dollar. And I listen to financial news. I listen to talk radio, and I hear them saying, well, the federal government, the Federal Reserve is going to save us. And no, it's our money. It's saving nobody but them. Go ahead.
Well, that's correct. Now, let's talk for a minute about the housing situation, because that's where this hits people the hardest. In the United States, our homes are our number one asset. Now, the housing bubble inflated the cost of homes over the last 10 years way beyond their real value. You know, when Greenspan lowered the long-term interest rates and the feeding frenzy began.
A house in Austin that was $200,000 10 years ago is $1 million now.
So people are paying for this inflation through their home mortgages. They are having to work it off. And the bailouts, the real purpose of the bailouts, are to keep the housing prices up, to stem the collapse of housing prices and the deflation of housing prices, because people need to keep working to pay off those inflated mortgages.
And it's also a inflation sink, or a place to hide it, because if housing drops, most economists would think that would actually somehow stem inflation. But no, it will actually trigger it, a lot of economists say. Do you agree with that?
Well, if housing dropped, what it would do would be reduce the amount of purchasing power throughout the economy, because that's what the housing bubble was created to do in the first place. We gave away our manufacturing industries since the Reagan Revolution of the 1980s. We exported millions of well-paying manufacturing jobs, and so people no longer had the purchasing power to maintain the economy, which means to keep the stock market up. And so,
they had to live off new mortgages on the increase in their homes or roll them over. But here's the problem. The international bankers did that knowing they'd pop the bubble later to fully implode the economy. That's why they paid incentives to move offshore. The globalists stated in IMF and World Bank plans that they were engineering it. So I'm saying, do you agree from the evidence that that we are now coming to a controlled implosion? Or, as some economists are saying, they planned that, but not this early, and this caught them with their pants down?
Well, it is a planned implosion. It is a controlled implosion. And I've been talking for months, really, about the so-called soft landing. This is what they mean by the soft landing, and we're seeing it's not very soft. I have said also that they're trying to keep the economy afloat until after the November election, and they seem to have gotten a little bit ahead of themselves here simply because it's been moving so fast.
Yeah, Katie barred the door after the election.
Right. And again, as I said, we don't see any relief for the working people to help them pay off these inflated mortgages. And even if the economy goes into a recession, well, I've been arguing it's been in a recession since 2003 anyway, but as purchasing power from jobs go down, the cost of the mortgages stay up, because we can't get out of those mortgages. And so people become poorer and poorer and poorer, and that's why the whole economy is slipping into this state of endemic system-wide poverty.
And that's why they're moving armored brigades into the U.S.
Well, sure, they're anticipating the riots. We've had food riots in other countries around the world because of the inflation in food prices. And, of course, they've got plans to maintain civil order, as they call it, through the military. Yeah, that's something I think that is there and is going to continue to be there.
Well, so here's the deal.
Get worse.
And they foresaw that and set that up decades ago. So basically, the people are going to have to basically hand all their money over to the bankers, and then we get nothing, even though it's our money. And so to me, it's all a fraudulent business deal. When we come back, Richard, I want to get into the real economy, which you're also somewhat of an expert on. Where do you see that going? You know, not just the bankers, not just the dollar, but how is this going to affect somebody who owns a pet store, somebody who owns a video store, somebody who owns a gas station, somebody who sells office printers? How's it going to affect radio, TV? How is it going to affect the private sector? And can the government just keep sitting and sucking off of us forever? I mean, what happens when we all go bankrupt?
Sitting in traffic, listening to the radio. George Strait was singing, "Seashores of Old Mexico." It sounded so good, I got an idea. I'm gonna go there since they're all over here. The Lone Star State should be renamed Texico.
After all, it's all the planet San Diego.
Hello, Mexico.
All right, Richard Cook, I'm all over the map here, but we know what the bankers are doing. They're sucking us dry. It's all engineered. How do you see this unfolding? You know, the big picture, your prognosis has been correct so far. Where do you see it going now? It seems to be deepening faster than we even thought. And then how is this going to affect the real economy? I mean, they're hiring more cops. They got more checkpoints. They're writing more tickets. They're more taxes, fines, fees. I mean, it looks like they're just going to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze.
Let me put in a quick plug for my website, if I could, Alex.
Yeah, put the website out.
I want to be sure I get that, because I have a new special report out called Election 08, Crime Family Food Fight or Threat to Mankind. It's available if people will write to our email on economicsanity@gmail.com. It's economicsanity@gmail.com.
Why don't you give your website out, too?
www.richardccook.com. And my articles are available on Global Research and other websites. Having said that, we have been in a recession, really, on the producing level of producing economy since late 2003. You can tell that by seeing how M1, the amount of money available in cash and checking accounts, has been flat and has even declined a little bit, even though inflation has been moving along pretty quickly. We're now seeing stores closing. We're seeing chain stores shutting down a lot of their local stores, cutting back on local stores. We're seeing whole retail businesses threatened. Sears is going to be shutting down more places, Best Buy, places like that. We got the food and fuel prices rising that everyone has been seeing. Even though there's been a little bit of slippage in the commodities markets, it never goes back to where it was before.
Yeah, it's still $3.25, $3.50 a gallon.
That's right. And it's probably going to go up again pretty soon.
And people think that's great. Oh,
$3.50. Oh, I got my gas for $3.50. Wow. We're seeing tent cities throughout the United States. There was an article about big tent cities in Reno, Nevada the other day. You know, people move there because they think there's jobs. There's no jobs, so they live in a tent in a parking lot. Poverty is growing. The number of people who are not able to get decent food to eat is growing. And we're going to have a situation with the foreclosures where we're going to have a lot of empty houses that can't be bought, and then people living in houses together, because the only way, you know, a lot of people can afford to live anymore is by doubling up or tripling up in houses. Last month, we lost 60,000 jobs, and this has come on the heels of thousands of jobs lost per month during the previous 6 months, but it hit 60,000 in August. We're waiting to see what it's going to be for September. But this is happening around the world. I mean, if you look at the statistics for all the other developed and underdeveloped nations, the whole world is sliding into a global recession. If you want to really see something interesting, people should go to the homepage of the International Monetary Fund, because they have a whole series of articles in there about the global recession that's beginning. And they're rolling out these new loan programs for developing nations as long as they do things like cut consumption of food. And you know what that means. So this is happening everywhere. The producing economy around the world is going into a very deep and very steep slide that the financial economy really can't do anything about, because all the financial economy does is suck the excess availability of cash out of the producing economy and leaves people in an even worse situation than they were in before.
Richard, stay there. Stay there. Back in 1 minute.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have a criminal government, completely rogue, doing whatever it wants, whenever it wants, totally beholden to financial interest, strip mining the societal treasures of the United States and leaving behind a rear guard of scorched earth paramilitary police to basically just control us as a burned out third world cesspit, as they burn the bridges behind them. It's a military operation with military precision. Richard C. Cook is our guest. We've now reached the point where the IMF World Bank crime syndicate's operation is like a 100-pound tick attached to a 50-pound dog. And I see articles like this every day. Agency French Press, or French news agency, rising prices tip another $75 million towards starvation. And when you read it, it's what Mr. Cook just said before the break. Economist, economic historian, advisor to the White House, Washington Post writer, NASA advisor. The IMF has a 100-point plan. They come in and they say, you will sterilize your people. You will not feed them. You will give us everything. You will sign everything over to us at 20% compounded interest. And the dictator signs the check, flies in, moves to Switzerland, and that's the end of it. The people die. This is blasphemous. So we're getting into the real economy. What this looks like is the pressure cooker heats up. Global numbers affected by acute hunger rose from 850 million to 925 million by the start of this year because of rising prices, the head of the UN Food and Agriculture Organization said Wednesday. And I always hear these redneck idiots and liberal trendies, you know, they all do it. They go, well, you ever see those starving blacks on TV? and people in Asia, they're pathetic. Why don't they just move where there's food? Because there's another tribe in the region over that wants to chop their arms and legs off with machetes. And because the United States and NATO and Europe and the rest of them put in dictators there over and over again and threw out good governments and paid groups to go in and kill the good government and to go in and destroy all the farm equipment, and it's all in official documents. So when you see those little starving kids with flies all over them, it's all on our heads because we let these murderers take control. Let's go back to Mr. Cook in the 3 minutes we've got left in this segment. Then we're going to come back and really give him the floor to go with where he sees all this going in the future. Continue with the real economy.
Well, the one thing people really do not understand is that the problem we're facing today is not with the real economy. It's not with the producing economy. Despite all that we hear about scarcity, shortages, and so on, I think there's a consensus among people who really understand these things, like Stiglitz, for example, who worked for the World Bank, that the world's economy is capable of producing what people need to live, not only in the developed nations, but also in the underdeveloped nations or the developing nations, if they had a free hand, for example, to grow their own food, which they do not have anymore.
I hate to interrupt again, but you just bring up too many good points. The British Population Commission from 44 to 49 said the third world's going to do too good unless we do this. We could produce five times what we need. Go ahead.
Yes, that's correct. And what the developing world has been doing in the last 10 years has been remarkable. I mean, China has had tremendous growth rate. India has a tremendous growth rate. And even the Asians, the nations of Africa, have had a fairly decent growth rate over the last 5 years. Now, according to the IMF, all that is about to end. And it's about to end because of the rise in prices of fuel and of food. They're projecting significant declines in the growth rate of the developing world because of this. And, of course, we know that the rise of prices is not because of supply and demand factors, which the propaganda tries to get us to believe, but it's because of controlled markets. It's because of the controlled futures markets. It's because of the controlled worldwide oil markets.
Richard, let's come back to that after the break. By the way, it's been announced. The red light cameras you thought were for red lights? U.S. government's involved. It was part of a larger grid. Mainstream news. They're tracking us everywhere we go. NSA control.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The loan sharking New World Order crime syndicate controllers, the architects of enslavement, that's the only way to describe them, have engineered a system to buy up our counties, our cities, our states, our infrastructure, to use our credit and our name to buy up the world's infrastructure. Now they've moved into the final phase of the Ponzi scheme, but instead of running out of town with all their goods, they've decided to fully, basically accelerate debt to the power of infinity and then use a militarized police state to enforce our payment to them for their right to own the world. It's like paying to be a slave is what I call it. It is just amazing. Richard C. Cook, economist, historian, is our guest. He's predicted a lot of this. And we even have a link to one of the global research stories, the one he just put out today, up on Infowars.com right now. We'll give you his website before he leaves us in about 20 minutes. But continue where you left off about what's really causing what's happening in the economy and then how you see this unfolding in lieu of, you know, multi-hundred-million-dollar bailouts on a daily basis.
Well, one point I want to make, this is the central point, and it's in the article that's coming up today. The root cause of all of this is the debt-based monetary system that overloads the producing economy with debt. And this is the system that, of course, the Federal Reserve has managed since 1913. They didn't originate it. It had been around a long time. We had the First Bank of the United States, Second Bank of the United States, the national banking system. We have been basing our economy on debt, and debt produced money almost since the United States began. And the reason that it worked in the past was that we had a very rapidly growing economy that
Western
was able
expansion.
To keep one step ahead.
Western expansion.
Yeah, and we don't have that anymore. We have a slow-growth economy now. And even though the Federal Reserve has talked about lowering interest rates and interest rates coming down to allow people to buy their homes, historically, these interest rates are much higher than they were, say, for example, in the 1930s during the New Deal, when we had the basis of the savings and loan industry put into place, where very low interest was used for people to buy homes. And we also had the Reconstruction Finance Corporation that gave very low interest loans in the range of 1 to 2% to industry, to farmers, to state and local governments for building infrastructure and that type of thing. And the physical economy of the United States really was created by the New Deal using very low cost credit. And the Federal Reserve at that time, during the 1930s, actually worked with Roosevelt and the federal government in order to allow very low interest to come into being. We lost all of that starting in the 1950s. In the 50s, the financial industry, the big banks, the big financiers began to take over the economy again, raise interest rates, and we've had a steadily rising regime of interest rates ever since then. It really took off in the 1970s. And then we had the Volcker Recession of 1979 to 1983, where interest went over 20%. And that's what really brought down our producing economy.
Now, Richard, there are millions of people out there listening, thousands who believe whatever the programming is, and they're saying high interest rates are at 4%. No, real interest rates are at about 9, 10%. Some people are paying 20-some percent on credit cards. Do you want to explain real interest rates and real economic numbers versus the pabulum that's put out?
Well, interest grows exponentially because it's compounded, and people can see that in their credit cards, particularly if they're paying like 20%. My daughter has been religiously making her credit card payments, and she can never pay any more than the interest because the interest just keeps going up. If with a mortgage, all of the interest is paid up front in the mortgage, so you can go years and all you're paying is interest, or you can have interest-only loans where you're never doing anything but paying more and more interest to the banks, which just compounds mechanically. And so in the course of U.S. history, when we've been under this system for now 200 years, interest has taken us to the point where the total debt that is sitting on top of our economy is almost at the $70 trillion range. And that doesn't even count what they call federal unfunded liabilities, you know, for the out years for Social Security and Medicare, that sort of thing.
Well, that's what I wanted to say is that I've looked at the numbers, especially the new ones with all these bailouts. There's more fiat debt than there is even real assets in the world.
Yes, that's correct. When you get into the total derivatives load and the derivative debt. But if you take something just like the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac bailout, the Federal Reserve now is going to add to our debt load and the Treasury Department possibly up to $5.3 trillion, because that's what the Fannie Mae and the Freddie Mac asset load amounts to. Our federal deficit right now has taken us to a $9 trillion national debt. We could be increasing that by half again as much over the next several years simply by one bailout of the big mortgage insurers.
That's another question.
The debt load is just astronomical.
They're saying these bailouts are $2 trillion, but if they admit the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, even if it's on the low side, is $5
trillion. That's what they insure. Yeah, $5.3 trillion is their asset base of what they insure.
So when we hear Paulson saying it's a trillion, that's a huge lie.
Well, that's the lowball estimate, you know. That's what we hope we can get away with. The downside potential is much greater than that. And again, it all depends on whether the producing economy is going to allow working people to make enough money to pay off of these loans, or whether they just continue to go into foreclosure. And it
doesn't look like that's
going to happen.
Well, we have our factories are gone. We're debased. Tax incentives to leave. More and more bureaucracy and taxes. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Where do you see things going?
Well, the one good sign that we have is that exports are increasing. We've seen a little bit of growth because of the you know, the dollar is not sliding as much as it did because the Federal Reserve is not cutting interest rates anymore. But I think we're looking at a long-term recession or even depression where working people are just going to have to work harder and more jobs, longer hours, just to pay down the debts, because the only way out of it is bankruptcy. And they've made it harder and harder. As you know, the 2005 bankruptcy reform law made it harder than ever before.
Because they knew this was coming.
Bankrupt. Yeah. And it was to protect the credit card companies. And student loans, for example, were taken off the table. You can no longer declare bankruptcy and get out of paying a student loan. That rides all the way through bankruptcy.
Now, let's think about this.
So does your tax bill, and the tax bills are going up.
I was about to say, let's think about this. The tax bills don't go away. You can't really declare bankruptcy like you could. But they wrote the law so they can move their money offshore. A few years ago, they changed that to block us, the slaves. They passed laws so it's hard to declare bankruptcy. I mean, they preemptively have headed off the pass.
Yes, that is correct.
And then we get to bail them out.
Yeah, that is correct. That's absolutely correct. That's why I'm saying that the United States is becoming an impoverished nation. Now, let me make another point here. What is driving the bailouts? One factor that is driving the bailouts is competition with Russia. We are now facing the possibility, in fact, the reality of a resurgent Russia that is not buying into the New World Order financial system, that is creating its own ability to finance its internal economy, that is supplying huge amounts of natural gas to Europe, that is beginning to regain its position of power with respect to the Central Asian republics that used to be part of the USSR, that are moving toward an alliance with China and possibly with India. We're moving toward what the Russian leaders are calling a multipolar world. They put us on notice that they're not buying in any longer to the unipolar world where the United States simply controls everything. So we've met our match on the world stage, and what they are trying to do is to keep some semblance of an economy afloat, because as time goes on and we're in increasing competition with Russia for world prestige, for world power, for leverage in dealing with other nations such as the Latin American nations, we're in serious trouble in terms of being able to present to the world a functioning society, a functioning economy.
And by the way, everybody knows they write White House memos saying torture children. Everybody knows we have demons, untrustworthy culls running things. And I'm sure you know this, Richard, but NATO announced massive military spending increase and massive reaction buildup forces for war with Russia. Did you see that today?
No, I did not see that today, but of course that's what the trend is. We have been trying, and of course NATO becomes part of this, and NATO oftentimes even acts independently of the U.S. It did in the Balkan Wars. They've been trying to surround Russia, and that's why the Ukraine and the Georgian Republic have become such a battleground between Russia and the West. And now we see the Ukraine beginning to move back toward Russia.
That's right. In fact, the puppet that the globalists put in is basically losing control of the parliament right now as pro-Russian forces take over, who had been anti-Russian, but they see this. They don't want to be used as a suicidal pawn against Russia.
Well, that's right. And the Ukraine traditionally is a Russian ally and has, of course, been part of Russia at one time. And now they're moving back toward Russia. So the sides are being drawn in the world for what could become a very, very devastating war. And it doesn't have to happen that way, but it's going to happen that way unless something can be done. And I've always said that the easiest way for a nation that is bankrupt to get out of harm's way, or so they think, is to start a war, because then they can cancel their debts. And to me, that's the biggest concern that I have right now.
Final segment with Richard C. Cook. We'll talk about the geopolitical formations and the different ways this could unfold on the other side. We'll also give you his website. I'm Alex Jones. Ours is InfoWars.com. I beg the listeners of this radio show to go to the archives of it. They're all over the web. And listen to shows from 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I spend 5, 6, 7 hours a day. I mean, I've got books on the shelf, you know, European economics. And some family cousin will be over who's a, you know, banker. And they'll freak out that, you know, I wouldn't even read that in college. It's interesting. You have to understand it. And not that I'm some mastermind of this. I'm a generalist. I read lots of different things, study things, but I bring on the experts. And the real experts, not the talking heads you see on TV, but people who've had track records where you can go read their writings from 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and see that they were right. That's who we bring you. People like Richard C. Cook. And so it's an acceleration of knowledge, all of us together going over different facets, different angles, different perspectives. Everyone agrees we have a very decadent, megalomaniacal elite in control of the United States. This happens more often than not. They are moving towards martial law. They are moving towards some of the most hellish tyranny scientifically organized and directed ever seen. But the good news is they're losing credibility and being exposed everywhere. So I've got a lot of optimism. Now, that doesn't mean that we're even winning the fight. It means we've got a chance to win the fight. We've got about 4 minutes left. Richard C. Cook, really appreciate you honoring us with so much time. I know you're a busy man. In the last 4 minutes, anything else you want to add about the geopolitical outlook and how one of these wars could start?
Well, it's already started because the what we've seen in the Georgia situation was one of those border skirmishes between the West and Russia. And it's only going to get worse unless something is done to resolve the economic situation in the United States, because it's what some people have called a flight forward. We can't solve our own problems, so in order to escape from them, we blame someone else and go try to start a war with somebody. That isn't going to work anymore. That is the end game that now has to be avoided. But what people need to understand, I think, Alex, is there are ways to fix this situation if we really put our minds to it. We've got a monetary reform movement in this country that has been growing in strength. A lot more people have been understanding the things that can be done economically and that can be done to get away from this debt-based monetary system that we have and to make some real changes. I would suggest people take a look at the website for the American Monetary Institute. I've got a new report coming out. It's called Election 08. Of crime family food fight or threat to mankind, where I go into a lot of these possible ways of approaching the situation. People can get that if they'll send us an email to economicsanity@gmail.com, and we'll give them information about that, or check out my articles, particularly the monetary reform articles on global research, because the only way an industrial economy can work, in my opinion, is through what I call dividend-based consumption. People should study the Alaska Permanent Fund. If you do look at the Alaska Permanent Fund, don't think Sarah Palin made it up. She found it there when she became governor.
You're talking about the comprehensive annual financial reports, and see, that's what the bankers are doing now. They're robbing all that giant slush fund government investment largesse that was our money. They tricked governments into thinking this, and now they've basically stolen it. And I need to have you up for an hour sometime just to go over that dividend plan, because there is so much wealth. We are so productive, ladies and gentlemen, that we should all be living like kings.
The one thing they did that worked was the tax rebate stimulus payment. Now, you know, it wasn't a lot of money. A lot of people had to use it to pay off their credit cards. The IRS took a lot of it because they said people owed them money. But nevertheless, that's the only thing that gave a positive number to the GDP during the second quarter of this year, was that tax rebate stimulus. That was the thing that worked, because what you're doing with that is you're putting purchasing power in the hands of the consumer. That's the only way. Building up the purchasing power of the consumer base at the grassroots level that can salvage this economy,
but that
not
makes,
loading more debt on us.
But that creates independent, dynamic people who aren't wards of the state. And then they might take the government over, and then we can't run our monopoly, and then we can't, you know, again. And so that's why they won't allow that. But I actually agree with. I've studied the model that you and others have come up with. I think it's a beautiful model. The problem is there's so many crooks in there, they would probably take it over or use it against people. But it's certainly better than what we have going on now. And my big thing is we don't really owe this debt. It's a fraud. Kick them out. Arrest the people involved. Basically retire the debt. And then, as you said, incentivize construction, building, industry, ideas, local government, local industry, decentralization, and we can literally go to the stars. Richard C. Cook, thank you so much for spending time with us. Give us your website.
Okay, thanks, Alex. It's www.richardccook.com or economicsanity@gmail.com.
Thanks for spending time with us, sir.
Thanks, Alex.
You bet. Take care. We'll be right back with Webster Tarpley in about 10 minutes. Stay with us. Webster Tarpley joining us in about 10 minutes. Get his take on what's happening with the financial system. That's somebody who for 30 years has been talking about how the British banking system was going to engineer this. He'll want to talk about how evil Barack Obama is over and over again when they're both complete puppets and it doesn't matter. But that's fine and dandy. He can run on about that. I really like Webster. I just really want to have him on about the issue that he really knows what he's talking about on, because he's certainly been on this economic situation for a very long time. And to say that some presidential candidate, one way or the other, is going to mean a hill of beans, well, we're going to argue about it. Or maybe we won't. I just... makes my head spin to watch this thieving going on. Ron Paul, many others said it. If they bail out the bankers, which isn't a bailout, we have to use the semantical term that they've now identified it as. If we bail them out, that is just them taking over anything and everything that's left. And if the average American's got $80,000+ in debt a few years ago, and they're talking about doubling the debt in just the next two, conservatively up to $20 trillion from $10 trillion, and that's their cooked numbers, then we're talking about $170,000 a person. And that's with all of the inflation going on. You're having to pay more for everything. And then, I mean, the money comes into this office from DVD sales and books and videos. And then I pay people and try to give them little bonuses so they can live comfortably. And there's not a lot of money left. And I mean, the money pours in here, folks, with advertisers and video sales. And it just goes right back into the fight. I can't imagine in this economy how I would have survived, say, 12, 13 years ago when I was living in a tiny one-room apartment and working two jobs then so I could drive a nice car and be comfortable and eat where I wanted and take girls out on dates. I mean, now, in this economy with what things cost, with what the jobs I had then, knowing what I was paid then, I mean, I would be... it'd be hard to even have a car working the two jobs, much less. I mean, it's bad, folks. And I know I don't have to tell you about that. I know you're feeling it. And for wealthy people who are like, yeah, I'm having to pay a lot more, but so what? Hey, your money's in danger in your investments, your annuities, the bank, everywhere. And, you know, I'm not piling on the government here or the corrupt people that run it, trying to make them look bad, trying to, you know, paint a bad picture. I don't cover 1/100th. I mean, I read hundreds of articles. I print them off. I've got them in front of me on the web. Just every form of corruption, tyranny, evil, and I don't even want to cover it. I don't even want to go over it. I'm sick of it. There's no end to these people. They're so bankrupt intellectually, morally. They're so untrustworthy. They've been caught lying to us millions of times. And to know that the establishment knows, the general public still isn't that tuned into reality. And so to see the lies they put out every day, they're so elementary. And you just want to warn people. So you call in on WOAI. I did that this morning. Hi, my name's Bill. I'd like to come on and comment on what they're saying about the economy. They're saying it was the entitlement society and people lying on their forms, but and the call screener says, uh-huh, and what else do you want to say? Well, and I want to say that's part of it, but the larger issue is that the brokerage houses and big banks that own them and control them would certify these bad debts and sell them and leverage them. And well, thanks, but we don't need that opinion right now. Thank you. And I'm like, hey, Manny. And the person's like, ah, ha, ha. And if I try to call into other talk stations in Austin, yes, I did it. And if I say my name, they won't have me on. So I've got to. And the sick thing is I have to be deceptive. A few months ago, I heard them on the air talking about gas prices being way up. And no one knew that it was 30% of speculation, 70% was dollar devaluation. So I wanted to call in, and I called in. They wouldn't let me on, so I called back later and said, yeah, I want to talk about how I got a motorcycle to be able to save and how I'm saving. And that's what they like, you know. And so they put me on, and then I shifted out of it and hit them hard. I mean, you've got to lie to get on these shows. They tell them, we want idiots calling in. We want stupid people. We want it to dumb down. And I have to watch all these people, just the hosts, the idiot callers, not having any idea. And then we know what's going on. It's all stated open. We tell you decades before what's going to happen. Years before. I mean, it's literally like walking up to somebody's house, knocking on the door and saying, don't you know your house is on fire? And there's smoke and flames burning them. And they go, no, it's a conspiracy. And they slam the door in your face and walk off. And get. I mean, I just can't even. Sometimes it's almost like it's an insult to everybody that knows the truth to even argue or even tell people about this. You shouldn't have to be told about what's going on. I shouldn't have to argue with you and tell you the CIA ships in the majority of the narcotics. I shouldn't have to sit here and explain all this to you. It's so simple. How can it be so clear to me and so clear to all these other analysts and historians and sociologists and. But then you talk to the public, and it's like they are cowards deep down. And so they rationalize and decide to say what you're saying is not true because it's scary. Like children, like three-year-olds, they think if they deny that something will hurt them, that somehow that changes reality. You need to stop living in la-la land. You need to understand we're in a world of hurt, folks. Oh, God, the people running things have killed hundreds of millions last century. They are so hardcore. They are so evil. Go ahead and call Webster Tarpley. Thank you. All right, I'll tell you about a few sponsors that make this show possible. Sponsors I believe in. One of them is Ecola Blue, a great system that takes water out of the air, does 7.5 gallons in regular humidity, even higher in humid areas like Austin, Texas, and even in a high desert, very dry. It gets, let me see the actual number here, half of that, or it gets about 4 gallons. Atmospheric water generator for home, pays for itself in 1 year if you buy your water from the store, pure clean water without the fluoride, but why believe me in thousands of studies that they put it in there to chemically attack you, and it does? Just ignore it, just keep drinking it. Unlimited water from the humidity in the air, machine, produces up to 28 liters of water in 24 hours. Great tasting, pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. It grabs it right out of the air, folks, and then puts it through 5 filters. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH. How the filtering process works is important to look at. Go to their website, Ecolo Blue, E-C-O-L-O Blue, ECOLOBlue.com. They ought to just call themselves free water or clean water or water from air. I mean, it's just. Color Blue is a nice name, but I mean, it's just super. Totally pure water would be a good name. Ecolablue.com, 1-866-585-4044, 1-866-585-4044. The water passes through an activated carbon filter, then a silver impregnated carbon filter, then a reverse osmosis system, then a taste and odor removal filter, and is stored in a tank illuminated by antibacterial fungal UV light. Also, the machine comes in the colors red, black, white, green, silver, and blue. Let me give you their number to get a free brochure. 866-585-4044, 866-585-4044. And like every few months, you just pull the filters out, wipe them off, stick them back in. It's water out of the air, so it's already really clean, but then it goes through five filters. 866-585-4044 or colorblue.com. And then also, I want you to know about New Vitality, one of the longest continually operating big mainline vitamin companies. We're proud to have them. High quality nutrients, vitamins, minerals. No magic claims, no miracle claims. Just that it's high quality. And it's stuff that's well known for, take their prostate, super beta prostate pills. It's just a whole bunch of different herbs, well known that even doctors subscribe to shrink the prostate after the age of 40, 45. Really a healthy thing to do. 800-569-4056, 1-800-569-4056, Super Beta Prostate. They have products like Aloe, Ease, Body Cleanse, totally flushes your lower and upper intestine, large and small intestine out. Just super power-packed concentrate aloe vera with some other herbs. Really great stuff. 800-569-4056, or link through on their banner on Infowars.com. It's NewVitality.com or 1-800-569-4056. Okay, some of the other news I have in front of me, then we're going to go to Webster Tarpley. Black Monday could have been financial terrorism. CNBC host compares crash to pre-9/11 short selling of airline stocks as SEC enforces ban to fight market manipulation. Isn't that funny? You have Buzzy Krongard, the head of the brokerage firm, head of the CIA as well, executive director number two, engaged in the put options against American United. One of them was six times any previous record in the week before. And then you had some other FBI guys doing it themselves. And then, but Kramer never mentions that. It's all, Al-Qaeda's doing it again. I mean, you people make me sick. It came out in European, German, and British papers, even in a few U.S. papers, Reuters, AP, that they started the investigation of insider trading, and it led to the government. So they shut it down. But then they recycle it and say, Al-Qaeda! I mean, if you slip and fall on a banana peel, or your wife starts cheating on you and divorces you, Al-Qaeda. If you get cancer, Al-Qaeda. If your candidate doesn't win, Al-Qaeda. CNBC host Jim Cramer says the financial terrorism could have been behind Monday's stock market crash as part of a conspiracy to bring down capitalism. Listen to the crap they come up with and then call us conspiracy theorists. As the SEC this morning announced a ban on short selling in an effort to fight market manipulation. Boy, that's really going to do some crazy stuff. Traditional people who are already shorting or not, it could be financial terrorism. What a great way to take down America. Maybe they want to find out who is doing the shorting like in 9/11. Remember, the airlines went down first and people thought it was bin Laden. Kramer, you're making me sick. And it goes on. I got some other news I'm going to blitz through later. There is a lot of it. But for the next hour, we are joined by Webster Griffin Tarpley. And he has the new bombshell book, selling quite nicely, that goes into Barack Obama. Obama, the Postmodern Coup. It's available at Infowars.com in the shopping cart. I hope you go and get a copy there or from Webster's publisher. Plus, a lot of great books. And I know Webster probably wants to tell us about how evil Barack Obama is, and I totally agree. And I want to get Phil Berg on, who's been going around exposing he's not even really fully eligible to be president because his mother had him out of country and hadn't been a U.S. citizen long enough. You have to be here continually. What is it, 18 years, and she wasn't. So all that's interesting. But really where Webster Tarpley's been dead on is government-sponsored terror. His analysis has been really great, top-notch. And for decades, I don't know, is it 30 years, Webster's been talking about the British oligarch banking cartel, how they engineer implosions. The real scam is tricking the public to, quote, bail them out when that's not what's happening. I want his expertise on that, and then we can get into the devilish bin Laden and his quest to defeat him and save us with Lord McCain. But, Webster, it is good to have you here.
Thank you, Alex.
Before we get into the devilish, the vicious devil, who I agree, but I want to argue with you a bit about that, let's talk about where you've been spot on, absolutely on target. I mean, how many decades have you been writing and speaking about the financial global crime syndicate?
Well, my first book is about terrorism in 1978. Let me just preface everything. I have a second book. I'm so mobilized about Obama. I have a second book. It's called Barack H. Obama, The Unauthorized Biography, and that's all about Obama personally from soup to nuts. That's at Amazon.com, Lulu.com. I hope you'll get it, too. But right now it's at Amazon and Lulu, so let me just say that. I guess we ought to talk about the financial situation.
Yeah, well, let's go back to Webster Tarpley. We never talk about who Webster Tarpley is. Tell us all about yourself. You're quite a scholar, the top of your class in college. I mean, let's get into your awakening, your political roots as a perspective into what's happening, because I want to give credit where credit's due. You've really been on target about all this for how many decades? So tell us, spend a few minutes on Webster Tarpley.
Well, I guess the thing about me is I've lived in Europe for about 10 years, and I have pretty good familiarity with European economic history and other kinds. And my specialty, if you want to know what it is the Venetian oligarchy. In other words...
But let's go back before that. Let's talk about where Webster Tarpley was born. Let's talk about, well, aren't you a Fulbright scholar? I mean, let's go through who Webster Tarpley is.
I don't know how interesting
people... But people want to know about you, Webster. In fact, now listen, I've had a lot of requests.
Okay,
because
fine.
You've been such a frequent guest over the last decade.
We got to get to the financial crash, though. But anyway, I'm born in Western Massachusetts. Actually, the first town in North America to drive out the British was Great Barrington, Massachusetts. And this is already in August 1775, I guess it is. There's a British garrison of two soldiers and one judge, and they're driven out by the citizens of Great Barrington. So that's my little town there in Western Massachusetts.
That was one of the pre-revolts before Lexington and Concord, when they called in heavier reinforcements to then exchange ballots back and forth with musket balls.
April of 1775. There's also this, again, the idea is that this is the first place where the British are driven out. Other places, you know, had various kinds of clashes earlier than this. But it's the first place in North America that says, get the British out. So I guess I pretty much fit into that. Unfortunately, though, there's too much rebellious spirit in these places. They get into this Shays Rebellion stuff, which is not good. I wouldn't want to support that at all. My family actually is from upstate New York, primarily, and they're associated with the inventor Joseph Henry, who is one of the greatest scientists of the 19th century. He's the person who really invented the electric motor. And what you've heard about Samuel F.B. Morse is largely nonsense. He didn't really invent the telegraph. Joseph Henry did. He became a professor at Princeton, and there's a hall named after him. And he's also one of the few people, along with Watt and Volt and Ohm and Gauss. There's a unit, unit of physical measurement named after Henry, the Henry. So really one of the great people. Along with Gauss, he's one of the two top electrical scientists. So all of my... My father, my grandfather, great-great-grandfather, all the way back, they're all named Joseph Henry Tarpley, out of the association of the family with Joseph Henry. And my great-grandfather was in the Battle of Gettysburg. He was in the 11th U.S. Regulars north of Devil's Den in the 5th Corps of Sykes at the Battle of Gettysburg. So...
All right, let's come back, talk about a little bit more about yourself, and then get into what's happening on the economic front, and then Beelzebama. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Is our guest. Okay, so prestigious and scientific family, upstate New York, continuing, just a little bit about your awakening growing up, when you found out about the whole global cartel, the international oligarchy based out of Britain, the Anglo-American crime syndicate, whatever you want to call it, the overlords, and then let's get into what's currently happening.
Well, I also lived in Europe I spent a summer in Italy in 1964. I had a Fulbright from 66 to 67 in Italy also. Also visited Germany, went to Moscow, places like this, which at that time was not so common as it is now. And then I gravitated into the National Caucus of Labor Committees, right, the LaRouche organization, where I spent quite a bit of time and learned a lot out of that, because there were positive features in this, although then the personality cult aspect of it became overwhelming. But I was able, even under those auspices, to publish Who Killed Aldo Moro, which was 1978, in Italian in Rome. That was a question of NATO intelligence, U.S.-British intelligence, kidnapping and killing Moro through the counter gang, the Patsies, the Red Brigades, as part of their geopolitical strategy. And then shortly thereafter, various things in the 1980s, but then 1992, the unauthorized biography of George Bush, which is on the internet. It's been there for 12 years. That's at tarpley.net.
And it's invaluable. You know, we give a lot of credit to some of the reporters that went to the National Archives in my film Martial Law about the whole Nazi connections to the Bushes. But really, a lot of that original core research and digging it out of the old newspapers was done by you, Tarpley.
Yeah, and so a number of people have come along. They're welcome to do it. It'd be nice if they acknowledged it, but that's fine anyway. That Prescott Bush, the grandfather of the current tenant of the White House, helped to finance Hitler. So that's one. And then in the mid '90s, I put together a collection of essays called "Against Oligarchy," which I hope to publish on paper and also on the internet by the end of the year. And that's a series of essays. Essays about the British and the Venetians. So some of that's scattered over the internet right now. You can look it up. And then after 9/11, 9/11 synthetic terror, made in USA. The printed books that you can get, and I urge people to get them. George Bush, the unauthorized biography, that's published by Progressive Press, reissued. 9/11 synthetic terror, made in USA.
By the way, we have copies of that available at InfoWars.com.
And then after those two, then the current year, this year again, I've done two. I've done as much this year as I've done in quite a few years, which is Obama, the Postmodern Coup, The Making of a Manchurian Candidate, which you have in your store. And then the other one, which just came out, first copy shipped on September 11th this year. That's Barack H. Obama, The Postmodern Coup. And there, the key thing is the poverty pimp. That is to say, the foundation operative, people ask, what's a community organizer? There's a wonderful term that
it's everybody
used to know.
It's a suppressor. It's a controller.
Well, he's a poverty pimp. In other words, what he does is he takes a bunch of poor, suffering people, he dupes them, and makes them into a saleable political commodity by using them for a purpose which is not their own. Sometimes
that's right. He bundles them and then represents them as their pimp.
Yeah, there's a poverty pimp or povertician, poverty crat.
A limousine liberal.
It's divide and conquer, and that's what he would bring to the White House.
Okay, we're going to get into that. But first, I want to get into your analysis of the current economic feast they're having on us and where you see this going. And then we'll talk about the devilish Barack Obama and the wonderful savior, John McCain. I'm being sarcastic. Stay with us, folks. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. We're here live. This is a live Friday edition. We are also not just on the AM and FM dial across the land with a lot of new great affiliates we really appreciate, and all of our other great affiliates as well and our sponsors, but Global Shortwave, WWCR, when we're live during the day for 4 hours and retransmitted 9 to 1 a.m. Central on WWCR. We're also on several satellite systems and the number one internet radio show on Shoutcast. You can look at their statistics and stats and see that. Normally rated about 2021 overall. Some of the music channels are above us, but we dwarf any other radio show that also simulcast over the internet by that rating service and others. Just a testament to the fact we are growing thanks to you, the listeners, spreading the word out there. I will be live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. with Jim Mars in studio. He's in Austin, Texas at Brave New Books tomorrow with his book about the fascist roots of what we're facing today. And he'll be in studio with us on Sunday. For the next 40 minutes, we have Webster Griffin Tarpley, author of several great books, and we carry two of them, 9/11 Synthetic Terror, and, of course, his Barack Obama Postmodern Coup. He'll be with us for, again, 40 minutes. Okay, Webster, let's get going here. You've really been for decades covering the banking system, the predatory system, how they design these implosions to consolidate wealth. We know a lot of documents show that they were designing this. But some say it's gotten out of their control through their greed. Break it down. What are we dealing with right now?
Well, I think it is it's a crisis that's out of control because you're dealing with a polycentric oligarchy with no effective center that would be able to dictate the course of future events. So right now they're scrambling to catch up. Generally speaking, I would urge people, first of all, stop the bailout. In other words, this is now a commitment of several trillion dollars to bail out the most cancerous, the most predatory mass of fictitious capital that the world has ever seen. It is the derivatives. This is not a crisis of home mortgages or any of this fairy tale that they tell. The reason for this is not that some poor person, you know, got a mortgage that was too big and then defaulted. That's ridiculous. It is between $1 and $2 quadrillion, according to my best estimate,
yes,
of derivatives. That's what's in crisis. And the only way to get out of it is to wipe that out. And that's going to have to be done by government action.
And Webster, let's be clear, and I totally agree with what you just said. Let's be clear, and Ron Paul said the same thing, cannot bail them out, because it sets the precedent. And Paulson's already told Congress, sit down and shut up, that, you know, this is a dictatorship. That was in Bloomberg of the international bankers. Ron Paul came out yesterday on the floor of the House and in a televised speech saying this is a secret banking government literally taking over. This sets the precedent to bail out the hundreds and even thousands of trillions that they have leveraged. So please continue.
Alex, let me also say, though, that I wouldn't agree with the way that he puts it. I think you basically have three possibilities right now. The first is an immediate deflationary crash. In other words, if you say do nothing or invoke the free market or anything like that, you're going to get chain reaction bankruptcies. You're going to have all of these banks go. J.P. Morgan goes. Citibank goes. Goldman Sachs goes.
Good.
Morgan Stanley. That's fine. But then within about 3 weeks, there's no food in the stores. You get an economic breakdown crisis.
But then the scientific dictatorship fails. I say good.
Well, I think that's not good. You don't want to have
It could bring in a road warrior scenario and then an even worse system.
It's going to bring in death on a mass scale because you won't have food and electricity. You can't move commodities without a banking system. There's got to be credit. You can't load a semi-trailer without some kind of a bill of lading, which is a bill of exchange. So you've got to have a credit system. The idea of the immediate crash is Andrew Mellon. Back in 1932-33, Andrew Mellon said, liquidate labor, liquidate stocks, liquidate real estate, liquidate bonds, liquidate everything. It's also called creative destruction with Schumpeter. You don't want this. You want to avoid it. But the question is how. And if I can just go on with that, I will.
We will on the other side. But Ron Paul simply stating that this is a controlled implosion and that it is predatory in nature and we shouldn't bail them out. And his plan is a little more detailed than what you were saying, Webster.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, Webster, I really want to give you the floor because you are an expert on banking and these international oligarchies. And I'd like you to go back to their roots after you cover what's happening currently and looking forward. I want to hear what's happening currently, then looking forward, what you think they're going to do versus what we should do, kind of encapsulating these if you can. And then I want to briefly do a snapshot back to the black nobility, to the Venetians, and then let's look over at those that duplicated that with the British oligarchs, because, again, you are a historian on those subjects.
Okay, just let me try to put the analysis of the current situation on the table. It's basically three points. You don't want to have a deflationary crash now, because that means within a month or 2 months, there's no food in the supermarkets. The social dislocations are tremendous. You don't want to have a crash now. The second point is, what you're getting right now is a hyperinflationary bailout. This is also bad. It buys a little bit of time. It buys several months. But the current policy leads to the following. The current policy leads to dollar hyperinflation, It leads to the death agony of the dollar being accelerated, and it takes the treasury bonds and it drives them into junk status. It means the dollar is worthless. Ultimately, at the end of the hyperinflationary bailout period, you're back in a crash, and you're worse off than you would be if you had the deflationary crash immediately. So, but both of these are totally unacceptable. This is Hobson's choice. If you say no to the bailout and you don't add anything, then you're going to get the crash, and that you don't want to have. The third possibility is the New Deal tradition, and the New Deal tradition would look something like this. You want to stop foreclosures? Great. Have a federal law that says no foreclosures for 5 years or for the duration of the crisis. That means homes, farms, businesses, anything to do with infrastructure, an airline, a railroad, a taxi company, a trucking company, anything that produces useful products or provides a useful service. But now you've got...
You mean anything in the real economy?
Anything that involves tangible physical wealth, commodity production, moving commodities, transporting them. Changes in the physical universe is what you've got to...
All right, let me just interrupt for a minute.
Let me finish, Alex, because we'll never get finished with this. You've got to stop foreclosures. You've got to wipe out derivatives. You've got $1 to $2 quadrillion worth of derivatives. These are a dubious legality. They were made legal by Greenspan, the Ayn Rand freak, back in the 1990s, with the help of Clinton and Rubin and these same people. So it's a two-party production. Derivatives have no value, but continuous funding of derivatives, which is what's being done now, is incompatible with the future of human civilization. You need a 1% Tobin tax on all speculation, on all transfer of security.
And a global authority to pay for it, of course.
No. You want that to go right into the U.S. Treasury. You want to stop oil speculation. You need all kinds of vigorous measures to stop oil speculation. In the middle of all this stuff, we want to have the social safety net, such as it is, guaranteed. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Head Start, food stamps, unemployment benefits, all payments to people have to be maintained. These characters like Fold, Franklin Raines, Jim Johnson, the people who ran Fannie Mae into the ground, they've got to be made to disgorge. That doesn't get you much money, but at least it puts the fear of God into these people. Generally speaking, what you've got now is preferential treatment for cancerous, fictitious paper. There's now a list of 799 financial corporations that you cannot short, but you can destroy General Motors, destroy Ford, destroy Chrysler, destroy food companies.
Yeah, so it's a double standard.
And we need to reverse this. This should be the opposite way around. We should say the way we want to have economic recovery is to guarantee useful physical production. Let these banks go down, but if you're going to let them go down, you've got to have a credit facility to take their place, because without credit, everything grinds to a halt. The economic heart of the United States.
So you're saying just like with the Economic Development Corporation during the Great Depression, only give cheap credit backed by the government instead of by the private bankers who get the power to the people and to things that actually build physical infrastructure. But let me just stop you because I'm going to forget. I'm trying to write notes here fast, and there's each little point I want to go over here with you, Webster. And if we need to, we'll have you on for 2 hours next week to really walk through your ideas, because I had Richard C. Cook on earlier who wants to go with one of, you know, a plan more like your talking about. Okay, I just don't want to turn this into a Ron Paul bashing fest. I only brought Ron Paul up earlier to mention that he was talking about the secret banking government is fully publicly taken over. So I wanted your comment on that. Now, going back here, that's my point. We will have a crash now, but the faith and credit of the people won't be completely committed into a fraud 1,000 times deeper than having the crash later. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to have the crash in 6 months, a year, maybe even sooner, and say, well, you're fully committed to this. You signed on to it. You wanted this. You're making it up and saying we wanted the 2x4 up against the head. And so I'm saying with the leadership that's up there, they're not going to go with this other model. I'm saying the bankers got us into this. Now they're telling us on the news that it was all us taking, you know, loans on our houses. So that's the false reality that has been put out there. So I'm saying not just putting out ideas, how would we implement a type plan that you are talking about?
Well, if you had a president, for example, you could say, I, as president of the United States, am declaring the International Swaps and Derivatives Association as an enemy alien. Under the Trading with the Enemy Act and the Defense Production Act, I declare International Swaps and Derivatives Association and all of their quadrillions of cancerous derivatives paper to be null and void. I'm vesting them. I'm seizing them. I'm confiscating them. I'm wiping them out, and I'm sending the 3rd Armored Division to the Chicago pits to make sure that all trading in derivatives are stopped.
But it's funny, they're actually sending the 3rd Armored Division to suppress the... They actually are sending the 3rd. They're sending that to suppress the American people. Did you see that in the Army Times?
Yeah, this is, again, what we've got is the world turned upside down. We've got a policy that defends cancerous paper, the 799 financial companies, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan.
But says fair game, meaning all the shorters are going to move into the real economy. This is a war against the real economy.
We've got the entire value system has been stood on its head. In other words, we're defending cancerous paper, and we're willing to take down useful physical production. You got to reverse that. Now, first of all, in terms of this bailout, any reason to be against the bailout is fine. Keep this open as long as you can. But if you only stop the bailout, you will then get the chain reaction collapse of the banking system, and at that point, everything ceases to move because you can't send commodities.
No, I agree. It's got to be truly nationalized, not privatized, claiming it's nationalized. And they've got to basically kick the Federal Reserve out and come in with U.S.-backed money and issue credit to everybody, and that would truly fix it.
Yeah, I would say the thing you want to do is seize the Federal Reserve and audit them. They've never been audited.
Arrest them. Well, I mean, that's the point. That's the point is they're saying, and that's a great point you made, fair game attack. You know, it's not just blocking 700 and something of these crime operations. They're now turning all those people, all those shorters, loose on the real economy. So they've gone from half as much game, you know, down to half. So that's going to intensify the attack on the real economy. They're predatorily rendering what's left of our beleaguered industry and real economy over to them, and then announcing every hour on the news, bankers did nothing, brokerage firms did nothing. It was all an accident. It's the American people's fault. I mean, this is the big heist, is it not? And you're right. It is the world upside down.
Look at General Electric. General Electric is saying, we want to be listed as a financial corporation because we're really GE Capital. We're really a hedge fund in drag. So list us as a speculative outfit. You know, we do make some electrical generators and stuff like this, but who cares about that? Forget General Electric making appliances or anything. We want to be listed as a hedge fund, so then we're protected. Now, notice also, it only goes for 10 days. It goes from next Monday. The rally you see on Wall Street is a short covering rally. It's the biggest short covering rally in history.
It's a limited butcher. It says just attack the economy, loot it, bloody savage it for 10 days. It's open season on the American people.
Right. In the defense of these people, notice that Paulson springs into activity at the moment when Goldman Sachs is about to blow, because that's where he's got all of his stock options. So this again, it's in reverse. The main thing you've got to do, destroy derivatives. If there's one guiding principle for the entire thing, wipe out derivatives. Derivatives are illegal. Greenspan certified them as legal back in the mid-1990s.
And let's explain. Derivatives are just made-up crap that are that the bankers just certify and then leverage and they buy real assets with.
Yeah, these are futures, options, indices. They are structured notes. They are swaps, credit swaps, collateralized debt obligations. All mortgage-backed securities are derivatives by definition because they're paper based on paper. So derivatives represent something that are off balance sheet for banks, and they're out of the real world of commodities, except that they parasitize it. So the main thing you want to do is wipe out derivatives. You'd be lifting 1 to 2 quadrillion off the world economy. Then you could have a recovery, provided that you had a credit issue. What you want to do is seize the Federal Reserve and say, guess what, boys? You're going to issue 0.5% credit or 1% credit, but only for productive purposes,
well, Webster,
for 30, 40-year maturities.
And well, Webster, the reason we have to stop the bailout at any cost, because you admit, and I agree with you, that it's even worse to let them continue the bailout and then crash it later, because this completes the circuit, talking about electricity. I mean, you had derivatives hanging out here in this criminal fraud, but now the federal government, through the Treasury and now the private Federal Reserve, are connecting the circuit to the American people and saying, you now are going to back this up with your credit name. And so we can't allow that to be completed, but they are doing it.
Again, it's time to mobilize politically. First of all, block it, and then you might have time for a debate, what kinds of policies. I would say the following. I think this is important. The notions of deregulation and privatization are at the root of this crisis. Up until 1971, we had the Bretton Woods system where government said, here's what the currencies are going to be worth. Milton Friedman and the Chicago School came along and said, oh, no, no, no. We want the free market. We want the free market. This led to the destruction of Bretton Woods on August 15, 1971, by Nixon, Kissinger, Arthur Burns, and Shultz. The next step, then, is making derivatives legal.
Stay there.
Under Greenspan.
Got a break. In fact, Webster, we're just going to skip the break, but only for Infowars.com. We can't skip the break. Why? Oh, we're in the middle of something. All right, we'll be back, everybody, with Webster Tarpley. Stay with us.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns.
Had a video and coding issue at prisonplanet.tv. The stream went down for a few minutes, but it's back up. Small part of what we do, but it's very important because it archives it for records. We will skip this next break for Infowars.com audio listeners and prisonplanet.tv viewers. Okay, Webster. Again, I was throwing my points in because I wanted to understand what you were saying and add some caveats to it. But go back and state that, because I totally agree with you about what they're doing and what needs to be done. And the way you brought it into focus was just amazing, that people think, oh, they're stopping the shorts. No, only on their own industry. These guys are complete pirates, acting as if they know the ship's going down, and they're just pulling out, you know, just every bauble and chandelier out of the mansion.
It's the triumph of monetarism, saying that you can destroy industrial corporations that produce transportation, capital goods, machine tools, food, pharmaceuticals. Everything real is open season. All of them can be destroyed.
Kill people and break things. It's military operations.
The 799 parasitical banks, hedge funds, and remember, this, according to some counts, financial services represent one-third of the U.S. economy, which is monstrous. It's impossible. You can't have this. There's nothing left to eat, to wear, to live in, to drive, to fly in, to sail in, to use as tools.
Because there's all the debt they generate.
Yeah, so they basically institutionalized that. Again, it's only for 10 days. I would stress again, though, this is the fruit of deregulation. This is the fruit of the end of the Bretton Woods system. It's the fruit of lifting the bans on derivatives that were in place in many areas of the economy up until the mid-90s, up until Greenspan and the Clinton administration. Rubin, in particular, did this. You also got some things left over from the New Deal, like the Glass-Steagall Act. The Glass-Steagall Act was in force until November 1999. It said, you want to have a bank? Great. You want to have a stockbroker firm, stock-jobbing operation?
Got to keep them separate.
Great. They've got to be separate. There's got to be a complete firewall between them, separate corporations. Now you look at J.P. Morgan Chase, Citibank, Bank of America, Wachovia. They are these hybrid monsters that are mainly, especially J.P. Morgan Chase, into derivatives. J.P. Morgan is about one-third of the derivatives in the world. It's something like 500 trillion, 600 trillion of derivatives. And then you've got this interesting uptick rule that they're all screaming about. Cox at the Securities and Exchange Commission, he surely is an incompetent and should be fired. There's one point where McCain had something to say. Anyway, Cox should be fired because what he needs to do is to reinstitute the uptick rule. In other words, if you want to short a stock, you can't do it when it's only going down. You got to wait till it starts to go up, and then you can short it. That would be more effective on the whole than this 10-day ban on all short selling. The most effective ban on short selling is the Tobin tax, a 1% securities transfer tax. To take the wind out of the sails of speculators of all kinds, you simply say anything that crosses an exchange, 1% tax. It's like sales tax. We pay sales tax. Depending on the state, you pay 5, 6, 7, 8.
But explain 9%. That. They are naked shorting with no money. They go in and manipulate things, putting nothing in. It's totally criminal.
Yeah, and of course, they now means Goldman Sachs put out a bulletin saying it's time to short Citibank. So Goldman Sachs, a bankrupt investment bank, says, let's survive ourselves by dragging down Citibank, which up until recently was the biggest commercial bank in the U.S. Obviously, all of these institutions are no longer what they were.
So they're even cannibalizing each other.
Yeah, this is fratricide and cannibalization among the finance oligarchs. Now, I would say the hyperinflationary bailout that is now proposed, you can see that Paulson wants to ram that through within about a week. He's got this monster Pelosi on his side. He's got Dodd and Frank, but he's also got, I believe, Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell and Boehner. They're all going to go along with it. It's important for people in Congress to say no. Filibuster it. Stop it. Block it. And add killer amendments. A killer amendment would be something like this. Are you going to give $1 trillion to these financial institutions and then let them come and foreclose on you anyway? Come on. If this is going to go
through. Well, that's the point I keep making. It's so incredible. We bail them out, and then they take our houses.
They're going to take your house away. In other words, they're going to be.
And they've already been paid for it. Yeah.
They're going to steal. They're going to have their hand in your pocket to pay for the bailout, and they're going to kick you out on the street because you were still under this foreclosure. So
that's incredible.
One obvious killer amendment would be, you want to do this, great. Stop all foreclosures for 5 years or for the duration of the crisis.
Well, Webster, that brings me to my next point, and we'll talk about this behind the scenes and come back and get into some larger questions with you. It's amazing. I've got to get you up next week a lot sooner, just amazing. The big issue here is Congress started speaking out against this last week, and Paulson Sunday said, sit down and shut up. The Treasury has contracts with these private banks and with these institutional investors and bondholders, and so Congress isn't involved. Congress controls the purse strings. This is a constitutional crisis. I'm going to skip that break for folks listening on Infowars.com. Webster, how should that be dealt with? I mean, we need to be calling Congress saying, hey, get up off your butts and tell them you're in the driver's seat. Because now we have this unitary executive, the Fuhrer Precept, you know, with the bankers, you know, pushing Bush completely aside, showing that they are running the government right now.
Yeah, remember, Paulson is a member of the Principals Committee, and this is what runs the government. Bush and Cheney are simply figureheads. I don't even know what Bush thinks about this stuff. I don't think he understands it. Cheney is also he's in a haze of alcohol and shooting at birds that he can't see.
Well, he looks like he's about to die in video. I saw him in Georgia.
Well, you know, let's let him drift off into the sunset. But in the meantime, we had two press conferences today. They weren't really press conferences. They were decrees. We had Paulson appearing with Cox and Bernanke, and he says, guess what, boys and girls? We're going to take $1 trillion and prop up these toxic pieces of paper. We've got mortgage-backed securities and collateralized debt obligations, and we want to have the government buy up the worst of them. What price is the government going to pay? Recently, the last time I looked, the collateralized debt obligation is going to go for 5 cents on the dollar. What price is the government going to pay? Are they going to pay $1 for each dollar of collateralized debt obligation? This stuff is crazy. But the interesting thing is, at the end of the press conference, Paulson takes three questions. You're trying to motivate the public. In other words, public support seems to be the last thing on the mind of Paulson. He took three questions at the end of this press appearance, right, this dictation that he was giving. He was asked, you know, what's the story with, you know, how much is it going to be? How long will it take? He wants it all done in a week. The Treasury is going to come up with a bill this weekend, and they're going to try to ram it through next week because they all want to go home on September 26th to do their campaigning. So, again, I urge everybody, for whatever reason, you can have any reason at all, stop this thing. Block it, filibuster it, and again, I have these killer amendments that would have that effect and that would be reasonable and that would be educational. In other words, if you're going to do all this, why not stop foreclosures for 5 years? Why not wipe out those derivatives that have caused this crisis? Why not build in absolute guarantees for Social Security and the rest of the safety net? Why not add things? How about this? You're going to save Goldman Sachs from bankruptcy, and they're going to go back to speculating on oil. Oil is creeping up again, right? Oil is up $5 or $6 a barrel. We know that Goldman Sachs is about a third to 40% of all the oil speculation is done by Goldman Sachs through that London offshore exchange. So what you're going to do is your tax money will save Goldman Sachs so they can foreclose on you and speculate on oil.
Okay, Webster, we're coming back to the full audience. Back it up again and recap. Here we go. Final segment with Webster Tarpley. I want to set him up for a couple hours next week to really break all this down. In fact, on air, Webster, I forgot to ask you because we skipped the breaks. You got your book in front of you? Trey's out today because he's working this Sunday. I hope there's some time we can get you on for a couple hours to really go through your ideas on reforming this crime syndicate for several hours. So let's confer on that, and I'll call you after the show. But in the time we have left with you, Webster, yes, I mean, you're absolutely right. They are imploding the economy. They're sucking it dry. And then they're still going to foreclose on our houses, even though the tax burden to pay for the bailouts being put on our backs. I mean, this is just unbelievable. And they're turning the shorters loose on what's left of the already beleaguered real economy, but protecting themselves. I mean, this is just, these wolves are not going to stop. So you had some ideas to try to stop this. Briefly get into those. We're almost out of time. And then getting into the real world, I mean, we hope they listen to Webster Tarpley or others, Richard C. Cook, or but we know they have a plan, and that's move the military in and suck everything dry and implode the economy. And, you know, that's just basically the end of America, and they move on to the happy hunting grounds and like they do in other third world countries and suck them dry and just put dictators in. You know, let's talk about where this is really going, though, because we all know they're not going to listen to us. So please continue.
Well, let me just add one of the things we said during the break, which I think is important. You're going to be bilked $1 trillion to save Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is still going to foreclose on your house, and thanks to you, Goldman Sachs will still be around to jack up the price of oil through derivative speculation, that is to say future indices, which are derivatives, in that offshore London deregulated market that Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, the two have been saved, are the biggest speculators. They're responsible for about 40% of the increase in the price of oil is due to the fact that Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley have bid it up. Now, as they were approaching bankruptcy, they were selling those futures contracts. That's why the oil price has gone down. Now that they're off the hook on bankruptcy, they're free to go back and speculate, and they're going to do that at your expense. So this is absolute monstrous stuff that's going on. Again, I would call on people, mobilize, try to stop this bailout from going through. And again, any argument you want to make against it is a good argument, but I think the most effective ones are, where's the public interest in all this? Where's the interest in rebuilding the United States? Everybody knows the infrastructure of the United States is at the point of physical breakdown. The interstate highway system is at the point of physical breakdown. The railroad infrastructure is collapsing, right? Your train crashes all the time. Look at Los Angeles.
But it's total greed. I mean, these brokers and these international bankers, they literally are making hundreds of, I mean, low-level guys in Wall Street are making $5, $10 million a year. The big guys are getting, you know, $100 million bonuses. They just don't care, and the public doesn't understand all this, so they have no idea.
Well, the point of mass mobilization, I mean, it obviously you reach it when the contraction, and we're now going into a violent contraction of production, employment, and living standards. When you get, instead of this gradual decline in the standard of living, when you get a sharp reduction of one-third to one-half of the current level, I think at that point, political mobilization becomes much more feasible. The question is, you know, to do what? And again, I recommend activist measures that will actually deal with the cause of the crisis. And again, the number one way to deal with the cause, wipe out derivatives. We've got between $1 and $2 quadrillion of these derivatives. There are now credit default swaps. We haven't talked about them. We've talked about the CDOs.
Well, explain to people what a quadrillion is. See, I don't think they get their mind around
it. It's $1,000 trillion. It's, you know, the whole U.S. The whole U.S. budget is, $3 trillion per year. The gross national product of the U.S. is, what, between $10 and $15 trillion.
And the national debt's now at about $10 trillion, but yeah, in future,
So you're talking about, you know, if you say $100 trillion, you're about at the price of the world. And if you say a quadrillion, it's probably 10 times what the planet Earth is worth.
But let's explain the level of this black hole of fraudulent debt they created. I mean, we don't owe this, folks. It's just made up so these bastards could buy every shipping company, every coal mine, every local police department, and they just sit there with troops laughing, oiling their machine guns. I mean, and now they're announcing they're going to occupy the U.S. with regular army, and it says in Army Times, we hope we don't have to shoot you. I mean, it's just, it's incredible.
Let me add one other thing, though, because let's just take the question of fascism, because one thing is to look only at the top-down stuff, the police state, dictatorship, totalitarian stuff. But now let's look at the fascist side. You see this thing with Governor Palin's email. This is really interesting. Bush and company were reading everybody's mail under the violation of the FISA Act, okay? But now you have hooligans, thugs, and the myrmidons of the Obama movement, neo-fascists, postmodern fascists, who go and read your email, and they do it with left cover, anti-establishment cover, radical cover, grassroots cover. And they're not the government anymore, but they're acting as a flanking operation to the government. In other words, Obama is on his way to seizing power, and he's got these fascist goons who are going to come and steal your email. And the public response is different. In other words, if Bush had been found reading somebody's email, that's a scandal for the left liberal. But now, when Gawker.com and the son of some Democratic congressman who's some kind of a goon for Obama, when they go and break into an email account, that's fine because that has left cover. That's the genius of fascism.
No, I understand that, and you think Obama has the grassroots support to bring in something really dangerous, whereas McCain's a dead political duck and would just discredit it. But here's the deal. Why do we have the Rothschilds and the British royalty and every other elite lining up on the surface, at least, for John McCain?
Well, I don't see that at all. I mean, again...
Oh, really? I can play all the clips. I mean, they're all over...
Look, but these are individuals. This is anecdotal stuff. If you look at the massive evidence of who's giving the money, Obama's getting five times more out of Wall Street than McCain is. He's getting the most from Goldman Sachs, the most from Lehman, except for Hillary Clinton. Who's
that is true.
The money. Look at the money, and you will see that Obama is the overwhelming candidate of Wall Street. Look at these people like Volcker. Look at the Federal Reserve.
So you think they're going to try to use minorities as the Hitlerian brigade if he gets in? Because I do see them hiring the illegal aliens for the military and positioning them in key places. I mean, is that what you're saying? You're saying he will, for the white bankers, kind of be the front of a brown revolution that's counter?
I wouldn't see it in racial terms, although that's how Obama will try to package it. The idea is that if you look at strike breaking, who has the credibility to break a strike?
The liberal.
No, McCain's a reactionary. Nobody likes McCain. But Obama has left cover. Obama's going to say, I'm breaking your strike for the polar bears and for the poor people starving in Africa and for the snail daughters and all these other left-wing causes, which people are not, they're not prepared to fight back on.
Well, Webster, I got to get you back on next week, so look at your schedule and email Trey or I'll call you. I want to get you on for 2 hours.
Glad to do it, Alex. Thank you very much.
Well,
let me just mention one last thing. Barack H. Obama, the unauthorized biography at Amazon.com and Lulu.com until you stock it.
That's
hoping.
Right. Great. I'm glad for you. Yeah, I've got a new book out. Two books in just 6 months. That's incredible. Tarpley, good to hear from you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for coming on with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the news on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. It's on the economy, on the police state. Just all the stops are being pulled out. This is the time to be paying attention to things. And this is the time to be spreading the word to everybody you know. We keep telling you, get into gold, get into silver, get into storable food, get into water filters, get secure. Yeah, you know, I mean, people say, what do I do? Probably can't turn around going into a depression. You probably can't turn around the full looting or the third, brigade of the army coming in. They're openly announcing everything we told you. God knows what's going to happen now. I mean, they've told us it's horrible, but just to see it unfold is still another thing. It's one thing to analyze it, predict it, read their own documents where they say it. It's another thing to see it start unfolding. We just thank you all out there for your support of this radio show and our sponsors and everybody we bring on here, whether it's Ron Paul or Cindy Sheehan or Webster Tarpley, all these people we support and promote. We're a platform for everybody resisting tyranny to try to have a real debate about what's happening. For the balance of the show, the next 18 minutes, I am honored to be joined by Steve Shank to give us a perspective on what's happening as the oldest continually operating storable food company in the nation, somebody who has a big factory, buys in bulk, can really give us a report on what the speculators are doing, what the famines worldwide. I've got reports on that. French news agency Today, rising prices tip another $75 million towards starvation. And that's the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization said today. It was 850 million on the edge of starvation. This is up from only 200 million a few years ago to 925 million. This is being orchestrated. And look, all I know is if there's a 10% chance of any of this happening here with war or depression, folks, 80% of the country was agrarian on the farm in the Great Depression for 10 years. And you still had 7 million people starve to death. That's major university studies. Just Google 7 million starved during Great Depression. That just came out a month ago. Big study. It's a historical study. You can go pull it up. My point here is that if we have a depression and the food stops showing up, and it's already happening some places and stores are bare and a lot of staples are running out. I mean, it's bad, folks. It's really bad in the third world. They're starving to death. There's food riots everywhere, all over the world. Hundreds of countries are having problems. I hope none of this happens. But if we sail through this and, hey, there's no depression and the bankers are sweet and pat us on the head and the 3rd Brigade's sweet to us and hands out donuts to kids, as they're going to do in PR stunts, they're admitting that. So my sarcasm has a basis in reality. Then we're fine, and you just eat the food, and there's going to be bad inflation. That's already here, and so you save money that way. But I believe you should get into storable foods. Now, I'm babbling. We're going to run out of time without even getting him up here. I wanted to get him on to talk about what's happening. Steve, stuff is going from bad to worse, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we saw a couple days ago the biggest jump in gold in the history of investment and things in this country. But the thing that people aren't seeing and that you and I have been talking about all the time, Alex, is the fact that if you think gold is hopping like crazy, you ought to see what the speculators are doing with food. They have a sure bet. The world is in famine. In the United States, we've got everybody running around, all of the patriots and all the people that even are aware, running around saying, what can we do? The individual has to take control. We cannot wait for them to do whatever they're going to do. And the only way to do that is be completely independent. Now, the victory garden has to come back, guys. If people understood, Alex, exactly what's going on with food, we would not have one green lawn in this country. It would all be rototilled up, and people would be planting anything they can get for fall vegetables. Those that don't have the ability to plant would be putting in 3 to 4 years of food, because here's what happens if you have runaway inflation, and we have runaway inflation. We are going to have runaway inflation. The World War II Germany experience of taking your money to the store in wheelbarrows for a loaf of bread is in process right now. And what happens is you go through, first of all, the phase where you get out of the cash and into gold and silver. But then the next phase comes that the gold and silver will not buy what is not there, and what you have to do is take your value and roll it next into food. So anyone who understands what's going on must buy up ahead of time while the money still has value the food that they need. Now, you're going to have to compete right now. You and I talked about this several times in the last month and a half, Alex, but the fact is that our people are going to have to compete for their food right now against speculators who are seeing the most profitable bet in the history of mankind in investing in food commodities, even better than the jumps that are taken in gold. There will come a time in the very short future where you will need to get out of your silver and gold, and the only thing that you'll be able to get into that will have any value or hold value is food, and the long-term storable stuff that goes 12 to 15 years is the only chance we've got. Families have to become independent, because for crying out loud, these financial organizations are moving so fast. The government takeover and the illegal use of public funds to bail out this insurance company.
Folks, there's no doubt. Let me explain again. During the Depression, 7 million starved over that 10 years. I mean, that's a conservative number. And it wasn't that farmers, people say, well, how did that happen? A lot of farmers didn't really own their land, so they got kicked off. Then the food production went down. I mean, they kicked like half of Oklahoma out. You know, that's where Merle Haggard, you know, the Okie from Muskogee, was really from Northern California because he was born in a railway car on the way there. I mean, and I'm not saying that's even going to happen. But, folks, bottom line, stuff is getting crazy. And we just thank God the people out there like Steve Shank who are educating people about what's going on. And, Steve, before we go any further, because I want to keep breaking this down and analyzing it, give people the toll-free number to call and get a free brochure or the free audio CD or to learn more, but they shouldn't wait to find out about the great high-quality food packages you've got.
It's 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633, or get up on efoodsdirect.com. We've got tons of articles there that you can read and figure out exactly what's happening. But the bottom line is, it is time to act, and the only way that people can beat inflation is to already possess, pay for, buy, and own in their possession the things that they're going to need. And the most important dependency that we have is food. I know I'm sounding like a one-trick pony, Alex, but the fact is that this is a fact, and people are going to have to start planning on victory gardens, learning to grow sprouts, learning to do for themselves.
Yeah, bottom line, folks, the government is saying you owe hundreds of trillions of dollars. It's not true. It's a scam. And it's clear they're going to just rape everything. I mean earlier, you know, the reports of they're turning the speculators loose on all the real industries, but guarding the parasites. I mean, it's, and then the media advertises it as stopping speculators. It's the opposite. I mean, these guys are so criminal, it just blows my mind. Again, give that number out.
It's 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633.
And for Prison Planet,
eFoods Direct.
And for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers right now, click on there, Bob, and let's put, it's the top banner on Infowars.com. Let's go to eFoodsDirect.com for the TV viewers. Because in this fourth hour, Steve, we also do TV to thousands of folks watching, and then tens of thousands later that watch it as a rebroadcast at PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, let's go ahead and put eFoodsDirect.com up there on the screen for everybody so they can go check it out for themselves. Again, eFoodsDirect.com, big banners at the top of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I'm going to skip this break as well for the Infowars.com stream listeners. If you are listening on the web, we skip the breaks because it's a luxury we can do for all the AM and FMs. Spread the word about those folks. They're very, very important. Support the local sponsors. Stuff is coming out of the wire so hardcore. Got to support every outlet we have, and they are so precious. Spread the word about those AM and FMs we're on, and spread the word about Infowars.com as well. Those are the exclusive streams only at Infowars.com, where you hear the behind the scenes. If you're listening anywhere else, you're going to be missing it. All right, Steve, we're going to continue right now. Okay, Steve, continue, please.
The main thing that I've got to point out, Alex, is that the way that we deal as individuals and families with this uncertain and unfortunately too certain future that is being brought down around us, is that we have to be independent so that we don't be beholden. You see, if you have your own bread, you never have to stand in a bread line. And historically, every single time that a government has taken over and taken away liberties and freedoms, the way that they control the people,
food,
the dissidents, or any of the people that want to fight, is by standing them in bread lines because there's no food. Food is the control mechanism. And if you take control of that dependency, then you have a chance to ignore what happens with whatever mechanism that they put into place. So I know that it sounds like I'm talking food, food, food. You know, one of the things that I hear once in a while from critics of you and me talking about food all the time is, oh, they're just trying to huck this food. They're just trying to, they're scaring us to sell the food. Let me tell you, folks, every morsel of food that Alex can get his hands on, that we can get our hands on at J. Michael Stevens Group, will go to somebody. It'll be scarfed up and there won't be enough left. It's not a matter of selling anymore. It's a matter of saving lives.
Well, I mean, let's get down to brass tacks here. You're in the business you believe in up in Utah. I'm in a business I believe in information in Austin, and I only have sponsors on that I endorse that I believe in. And with all, I mean, I've been telling you folks for years they were going to do this to the economy. I told you 3 years ago they were going to start the controlled implosion in a film Endgame and with all our guests. By imploding the economy, starting with the mortgages, the subprime. It happened. Okay, now, I don't know if stuff's as bad as Steve's saying. I believe he believes that. I know he's in the business. I hope to God he's wrong. But every passing day, it looks like he's right. All I know is if there's a 10% chance of this happening, you've got to have storable food. And yeah, if it allows me to sponsor my radio show and pay my 14 employees and get a little bit of money to be able to operate and pay for the bandwidth of having some of the biggest websites on the web, absolutely, we need to operate. And I need food for my family. But it's everything I do is about symbiotic. Everything I do is about win, 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 win. I'm a win, win, win guy. I'm not a winner, loser guy. And so we were right. You need to get storable food. Bottom line, J. Michael Stevens Group, eFoodsDirect.com. We'll put it back up on screen for everybody. Steve, we're going to come back in the final segment to the full AM and FM audience, shortwave audience, but this is substantive also with just the internet. By skipping this break, I wanted to spend all that time we had, but let's come back and continue to talk about where you see the future of food prices going with inflation right here on the one, the only GCN Radio Network in association with InfoWars.com. Okay, bottom line, you've been in the storable foods business for 27 years. Steve Shanks, our guest, J. Michael Stevens Group, eFoodsDirect.com. Where I've gotten my storable foods, high-quality freeze-dried and dehydrated, really fits into small areas. You know, the cans are jam-packed, the boxes are jam-packed. It lasts 15-something years in air conditioning, what, guaranteed 10 in the garage, like at my house. Don't have room for it. So I got, like, stuff's getting, so I don't want to say how much food I've got a couple years' supply for my whole family. And I've even bought more and given it to family. And I keep forgetting for, like, months, because I'm so busy, you're so busy, I want another year supply. I need to call you and get that from you, Steve. I need to buy that from you because I'm realizing, my God, you know, this isn't even enough what I have. Just in closing, seeing what's going on in the markets, you were right a year and a half ago when we first started talking to you again. I've been listening to you for years, and you obviously have a radio show here on Genesis, and let's plug that. But you were right about food prices going up then, and now it's continuing. I mean, how much are we going to see general food prices go up in the next year?
You will see them double and triple, and you will not see any food prices coming back down. It's not going to be like oil. There is a shortage, and it's worldwide. There is a serious famine. We're just clearing the third year of a worldwide famine.
But the speculators have also piled on to the famine.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're buying it up, and they're writing in financial magazines, they're bragging about the fact that they're buying up your food, the corn and the wheat and the soybeans and everything, they're buying up your food, and they're bragging that they expect it to double within the next 3 or 4 months, because foreign countries can afford to come in with cheap American dollars and buy your food. So if these investors are investing in your food for the future, even if you don't have the funds to do it, find the resources and invest in your food for your life.
Well, I like that ad you run on the network, Steve. You know, where the talk show host, nice fella, Roger Fredenberg, is talking about selling toys in his garage and getting storable food. I mean, you know, this talk about, I can't do it, it is a bunch of malarkey for most people. And so bottom line, folks, you need to give them a call. Give them the number again.
800-409-5633. 800-409-5633. And we'll get you out some lecture information and some brochures that you need to work with. And on the web, it's eFoodsDirect.com. If you want an education, we got over 200 articles on there, Alex, that people can thumb through and read and find out exactly what you're saying and what we're saying is the absolute truth, and they've got to move.
Yeah, folks, at least look at it. I mean, does your gut tell you shouldn't be self-sufficient? Does your gut tell you that you shouldn't be? I mean, I just love getting people ready. I love getting people to not be dependent on Big Brother. It makes me feel so good, and I love pointing you at eFoodsDirect.com. eFoodsDirect, just the letter E, foodsdirect.com. Big banners at the top of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Steve, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for joining us.
Take care, Alex.
You bet. Oh, and Steve, are you still there?
Yeah.
Are you going to have your ladies there answering the phones throughout the weekend?
Oh, absolutely. 24 hours.
Oh, okay. 24 hours. Thank you, Steve. Okay, there goes Steve Shank, ladies and gentlemen. Man, that is it for this radio show. I'm going to have Jim Mars on for an hour and 45 minutes of the Sunday show to really do an in-depth presentation on the fascist Nazi system that's taking over. We don't mean the Nazis you think of, folks. It's more complex. He'll be in studio with me this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, on the AM/FM dial, shortwave satellite internet out there. We had Jim Mars on for 30 minutes with a great overview on the economy in the first hour today. I start the show with deep economic analysis and breakdown of what's really happening from the news. And then we had, of course, Richard C. Cook and Webster Tarpley on. And that all starts retransmitting until I'm back live Sunday at one place, the Infowars.com exclusive streams. Those are the hot streams. God bless you all. Have a great weekend. Get out there and warn people.